about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Check, check. Check, check, check. Ha 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 ha. Check, check. Ha 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 ha.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Big fan. First off, I want to say you're very good at your craft work. I don't know how you do it. Acting is not an easy profession, but you pull it off in every role you play. So I just want to say congratulations in the work you do.
Have you ever heard of Muggs? Lovely guy.
Ugliest man I ever laid eyes on. That's why everyone called him Muggs. His face was all over the place.
Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need to go to the gym. I'm going to get diabetes if I don't go to the gym. I really feel like crap. I really do. I don't feel healthy like I did when I was doing MMA. I'd love to get back into the MMA scene. I really would.
And now,
ladies and gentlemen. Let me finish what I'm eating. Sorry. Wrong time to eat.
Our feature presentation.
He does good work. Let's be honest. That's good work right there.
I thought it was we were overdue for a little tribute to the greatness of Beer Mug. And by the way, why doesn't he ever do interviews anymore?
He does.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When was the last time we had a batch? It feels like it's been too long.
I agree, though. Not enough.
Isn't that the reason we keep him around?
Pretty much.
He does a subpar job with everything else, but we keep him on the payroll so that he can go out and do interviews, which he's not doing.
What about the MMA times, though? I haven't been around for those. Was he a professional fighter and I missed it? What happened?
That's a good question, because there really were no MMA days.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think he ever trained, did he? I think he just did that one thing where it was like a video piece for us where he got knocked out. But okay. I don't know that he ever went to the gym and like trained and was working on all that. I think he just has it. Thinks he does.
Yeah.
Sweet spirit.
He's been hitting the head a lot.
I think it's a rich fantasy life that there was a time where he beat Cormier.
Right.
in his mind, I think that happened. So anyway, let's look for some opportunities. I mean.
Agreed.
It seems like in Los Angeles, there are lots of opportunities to interview people. It seems like there's always a red carpet or, you know, a convention or something going on.
Or people on the street.
Yeah, get the boy out there with a microphone. Anyway, it is Tuesday morning. Got a big program for you today. Very excited. Let me start with this story. I was fascinated, and as usual, there's not enough information. This story comes out of Pageland, South Carolina. There's a young man there who is in trouble. He's actually been in trouble many, many times over the years. I was fascinated by this. This guy had a lengthy record of at least 20 charges brought against him over the years, everything ranging from minor traffic violations to unlawful sale and possession of firearms. Every single one of the charges, 20 of them, were dismissed or disposed by a judge. Has no criminal record.
Really?
How do you get away with, I mean, out of 20... Out of 20 charges against you, you don't go down for any of them? What's this guy's secret?
Judge's son?
Maybe. His name is Brent Nicholson. He is 51 years old. There was a raid on in his home. Police officers were at his house and noticed merchandise in his front yard that they recognized as being reported stolen. So they were very cool about it. They didn't say anything. So they went back to the judge and they got a warrant. And then they showed up the next day to arrest him and search the house. And it turned out that he had as many as 10,000 guns in his home. They don't know yet. They haven't counted them all. The estimates are somewhere between 8 and 10,000 guns.
Are you sure you weren't just watching Hoarders?
Yeah. I mean, this guy clearly is a hoarder. A police officer said the guns and ammunition filled multiple tractor trailers. We honestly passed guns from one person to the other as fast as we could for 9 straight hours. They're just starting to get into the paperwork and count it up. None of us have ever seen anything close to this. No telling how many break-ins this will help wrap up. They think that he has been some sort of mastermind thief in terms of stealing stuff all over the county, and that he also, and again, many questions in my little mind here, he also was paying other people. It was well known among the criminal community that if you stole guns, you could bring them to this dude and he would pay you for them.
Huh.
Now, even if you're planning on taking down the government, what is a dude going to do with 10,000 guns? That may be overstocking, right?
Maybe he was running his own gun buyback program.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be nice of him, but maybe alert authorities. That's weird.
I don't know that he's going to take on the government because you don't need that kind of weaponry. So maybe he's just like a crazy collector.
He wasn't selling them, by the way. Right. And there's no indication that he was using them. He was, as you said, Kevin, he was hoarding them.
Yeah.
But why? Over 100 law enforcement officials were on the scene, at least 20 agents sifting through the evidence piece by piece. They're going to try to put as many of them back in the hands of the rightful owners as they can. In case you're wondering, by the way, it wasn't just guns that he had, although that was primarily what he had in his property. They also found more than 500 chainsaws.
500.
Now, if you're not going to sell them, why buy them or steal them? What's the draw of that many chainsaws?
This sounds like a OCD, a mental illness.
It's got a mental issue.
For sure.
He also had taxidermy deer heads, alligator heads, air compressors, and four-wheelers on the property.
How much property did he own?
They interviewed his next-door neighbor, by the way, who said he had lived near Nicholson his entire life and never suspected a thing. He's always been a good cat, but you know, people do things, he said.
It's a good point.
The recent investigation has raised a lot of questions, like what was he thinking? Why was he collecting that many firearms? What was he planning to do with them? I mean, was he planning to start a riot? So I don't know. I will keep my eyes peeled to see what's going on with Brent Nicholson. But imagine the police's surprise when they said, oh, this guy's got that thing in his front yard. No, you know, could have been a lawnmower. Who knows what it was. And then they break in and find 10,000 guns.
They're probably so bummed with all that paperwork.
Oh, that's a lot of paperwork.
God, we got to carry all these guns out. And then we got to do a lot of paperwork for each one.
Exactly.
Guy's so a nightmare.
That does sound like that's going to keep some officers busy for the rest of their lives. But good times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Mead Show, shall we?
And plus, some Halloween music, but not a whole bunch, because Halloween's next week.
What's Saturday?
My show won't be on Halloween. My show will be on after Halloween. We'll figure it out, but stay tuned. And here are the Monkees.
we'll figure it out.
All right, Rodney?
We'll figure it out. We've got a team on that. On the program today, we're going to tell you about a Star Trek cruise. Not positive I want to be on that cruise.
Is Neil deGrasse Tyson going to be on it?
He is not. No. No. Good question, though. Supergirl was on last night. Did you guys watch it?
Yeah.
I did.
I did not. We'll discuss it. We need a recap. See if it's worth keeping on the schedule.
It seems very popular online. People seem to be very satisfied. What did you think, Allie?
I loved it.
I thought it was real good, too.
Loved it.
All right. We've got your tickets for Spectre. It's an advanced screening for that. The new 007 movie. We have Jason Blum. You know what Jason Blum is the executive producer of? Hellevator.
Yay!
It's an elevator, but you add an H to it, it becomes a hellevator.
Very scary, you guys.
Very scary. I bet bad things happen inside that elevator. I bet it is not a smooth ride.
And also from the LA Clippers, we've got DeAndre Jordan on the program today.
Let's have Dave interview him.
Let's not.
I think that's not.
I think we want to keep the relationship with the Clippers.
I'm not
but
positive.
Dave is super Clipper fan.
Yes, he is.
Dave knows so much about DeAndre Jordan and the Los Angeles Clippers. He would be the perfect. He's the person who's best positioned to do that interview.
All right.
I'm just throwing it out there.
And I'm throwing out mugs.
We're just complaining mugs of enough interviews.
We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next.
Hey!
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
No.
It felt right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
It's time for the Showbiz Beat with that Ralph Garman guy.
It is another day, another celebrity endorsement for Donald Trump. Finally, people starting to wake up to the magic of what will be President Trump in 2016. This time, it's former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson. I know many of you have been waiting to make your political decisions until Mike weighed in, and now that he has... Your choice is clear. It's Trump. Mike said,
he should be president of the United States. Let's run America like a business where no colors matter. Whoever can do the job gets the job.
That's right. Donald Trump is all about not judging people by their color, Mike.
That's true.
You're absolutely right.
He's very inclusive.
He is very inclusive, and he loves the brown man. We know that much.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Quick question, Ralph.
Yes.
Bean? Mike Tyson can't even vote, right, as a convicted felon.
That, I believe, is correct.
Okay. But he still can share with us who we should vote for, I guess.
Sure. Okay. This is still America, Bean.
That's right, man.
And we should follow it.
Freedom of voice.
Right, it's right. Freedom of voice.
That's what they say in the 17th Amendment.
I think you got all that information correct.
Yep.
It's going to be so much fun living in President Trump's America. It's going to be so much fun.
I agree. This is going to be the greatest country ever.
It's going to be a carnival ride.
Yeah, that car ride is going to be the funhouse mirrors because we're going to look into there. What? Look at what happened to us. Why do we look like this? That's going to be the ride.
I just love it when he gets his back against the wall at an issue and the reporter says, but what about the Constitution, Mr. Trump? And he says, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see.
I mean.
No, we won't. It's right there. It's been there for over 250 years. No, well, we'll get to that when we do. We'll see.
That kind of thinking is what makes it magic.
It is. You know, celebrities, they're just like us.
I've heard that.
I've heard that, too.
Absolutely true. Yeah. I had to laugh when I saw pictures this morning of Melissa McCarthy. She is not only one of the biggest comedy movie stars in the world right now, but she's also a mom. And she was leaving a Joanne Fabric store with a bag full of cloth and stuff and things to make costumes for her daughters, Georgette and Vivian. The reason I laugh is because this very same weekend, I had myself had to go to Joanne Fabrics to get some stuff for Halloween for the kids.
Is that right?
Have you ever?
No, I've
never.
Have you ever been
to a Joanne Fabrics the weekend before Halloween?
I don't think I've ever been to one ever.
Lines, not since Disneyland have I experienced lines like I did at Joanne Fabrics.
Really?
It's a madhouse. Literally a madhouse. I saw people in straitjackets talking to themselves, banging their heads against the wall as if it was an asylum.
Were they in line?
Maybe. It's hard to tell. There were so many lines going on. It was crazy. But also, Tom Bien, too. Some of the hottest women I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Because they're all getting ready for the Halloween parties, and they all need, oh, I need a little lace for this thing. I need a little sexy cloth for that thing.
So that line you didn't mind waiting
in. I'm just saying.
All right. So worth it.
Creepy were you at Joanne's
Fabrics? If I was a single fella, I would mark down on my calendar, weekend before Halloween, Joanne Fabrics.
Every single woman that left.
Yeah.
Because you could, I don't know much about this chiffon. Do you have any idea? Should I get this kind? You start the conversation. Boom! Next thing you know.
Bone Town?
Deep in her jack-o'-lantern. You know what I'm saying? Right? Who's with me?
Giggity.
Giggity indeed, sir. Giggity indeed.
It's a good tip for the single listeners out
That's
there.
That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't think to cruise at Joanne Fabrics, right?
Not at all.
But that's where you win because already there's no competition. And C, on the list, it's a disarming situation. You're there buying, faux fur for your Viking costume, and she's there getting
a legitimate cover story.
Her belly dancer outfit, and you start up a conversation over the ribbon and sundry section, and the next thing you know, boom!
Wow. That
right?
is a very savvy analysis right there.
You're welcome. And congratulations to Ricky Gervais. He'll be returning to host the Golden Globe Awards. Oh, thanks, sweet Jesus.
He is so good on that.
He is so good and so wrong and so wildly inappropriate. It makes everyone uncomfortable, and it may be my favorite hosting job by anybody does ever.
Same.
Wow.
He doesn't necessarily get the big laughs. He does no song and dance numbers or ever, but he comes out and he is refreshingly brutal.
And unpredictable, too.
Completely.
And that's what's fun. As much as I love Tina and Amy, you know they're going to be funny,
but
you also know the constraints
polished.
Of what they're going to do.
Yes, they're going to be polished and show busy, and they're going to make some jokes, and everyone's going to have a good time. But Gervais is genuinely dangerous.
Yeah, he's going to hurt someone.
And I get nothing but joy out
he
of
doesn't
that.
Seem to care at all what Hollywood thinks
of him. And he seems genuinely drunk.
Yeah, well, he does drink.
By the end of the show.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
And by the way, how emboldened is he now after the things he's already done in hosting and as a presenter to be invited back? That's basically saying, just keep doing what you're doing.
Oh. Yeah, I look forward to his three-minute appearance in the Oscars every year when he walks out and says, no, well, I'm not going to win, but, you know, racist. You know, he'll say stuff and just already I'm just slayed because he makes everyone uncomfortable. Today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of brilliant Brits, John Motherlovin' Cleese celebrates his birthday today, 76 years old. One of the funniest people maybe ever. If you're a Python fan, you know that, but just in the solo work, too, with Fawlty Towers. And I saw him do his one-man show on stage years ago after his most recent divorce. Or maybe it was a divorce ago. I can't really remember. But it was called the Alimony Tour. And he said he just had to go on the road just to pay off his wife, and that's why he was there. And he started off the show with a pie chart and graph series of slides showing how much money his ex-wife was going to make per day as long as their marriage had lasted and what she did within that marriage in order to earn it. It was side-splittingly funny.
That's funny.
Very clever man. 76 years old today. Duran Duran singer Simon Le Bon, 57 years old. Scott Weiland's 48. Patrick Fugit, he's 33 years old today. Or is it Fugit? I always forget.
I think it's Fugit.
I don't know.
What's he in? He was in something fairly recently. I was surprised to see him
Almost
still
Famous is where he blew up.
Right.
I don't know what he's done.
He's in a
recently.
Movie in the last year or so that I was like, oh my God, he's still an actor. I'd forgotten that he still did that because he's worked so infrequently.
Dave, is it Fugit or Fugit? Or Fugit?
Fugite?
Don't ask
Dave. It's got vowels in it. It's got vowels in it. Don't ask Dave anything.
I like that Dave. He doesn't even try.
I don't know. He's annoyed that we asked. Hakkasan. Not my fault. And Fashion Police host.
Fugit.
Oh, timing.
And, of course, member of the legendary Osborne clan, Kelly Osborne's 31 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I got to talk about myself now because that's what I do. I challenged a bartender in Las Vegas one time to make me the most disgusting drink that would knock me on my ass the hardest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he mixed, I swear to God, it was like Goldschlager, Tabasco, 151. Right. He mixed it all in a pot. I took a shot. My whole body started burning. Mm. And I woke up later to be found in the bathroom in my hotel room with trying to take my clothes off because I was vomiting all over myself. And my friends started taking pictures of me. Do you make drinks like that?
Wait, that was an interview question?
Great
you were asking
question.
Someone else?
Great question.
Who were you
was
asking? It mic'd?
She has this...
well, they're never mic'd.
She has like a viral show that talks... She's like a bartender, so I was talking to her about it.
I see.
Muggs is the Rodney Bingenheimer for our generation.
How? Thank you.
You ever think about that?
Bean, you were asking about a half hour ago why he doesn't do as many interviews, because yes. That's where he really shines.
Well, absolutely.
It's probably because his career as an Uber driver has taken off.
Oh, is that what's taking up most of his time now?
That would
he's
be
not
my
here
guess.
At the show?
Because,
yeah.
As you know, Muggs got into a lot of financial trouble with sports, with gambling on sports. Mm-hmm. And he dug himself quite a hole. And
I remember the day he came in and he said, guys, I got it. I figured out a way that I'm going to make extra money because I got all this time. I'm out of here at 11 o'clock or noon or something like that. I've got all this time. I figured out my next career. I'm going to be an Uber driver. And I was cautiously optimistic for him because lots of people are doing that right now. And there are people who are making a living being an Uber driver. So I thought, all right, give it a try. What the hell? Why not, right?
And Muggs thought, you know, I'm not going to drive my old car. I need a better car. I need to upgrade to a car that maybe gets a lot better mileage.
More economical.
Sure. So he bought another car. Mm-hmm. So now he's got two cars and a lot of debt.
Right.
Yeah.
But he started making just bank as an Uber driver.
Just hand over fist.
All the time.
God, he just rolls around in cash.
Yeah.
Well, the first time I started out, it was rolling in. Because I got the $200 bonus for my first 20 trips.
Okay.
I got a cleaning fee from when the girl vomited all over my back seat.
Right.
That's
so
right.
They gave me that.
And that was, if I remember correctly, it cost you less to get it cleaned than they paid you to have it cleaned. So you made money on it.
Yes. I pocketed something on that.
I'm guessing he didn't even have it cleaned.
No.
He just left it the way it was and took the money.
You should just be encouraging people to vomit in your Uber if you make money every time they do.
That's what I'm saying.
So then what happened when you started taking taking some time off from your Uber career. You went to, you had some gigs here for the sticker.
I had some Hot Topic sticker campaign that we do each year. Mm-hmm. So that kind of took time away from me being able to do Uber.
Because that was at lunch.
That was at lunch.
So that was like noon to two or whatever, yeah, 11 to 1.
That was at noon to two. And it would be all over the Southland. So sometimes I'd be in Irvine, sometimes I'd be in Pomona, whatever. So
you like, picked up a fare on the way home, or how did you work that?
No. I focused on just getting back to this area so I didn't have to sit in traffic.
So that you could Uber here.
Okay. No, locally. Not really. I was a little tired after the gigs. You know, it's a lot of crowd participation. I'm on the mic for 2 hours.
Right.
Doing trivia, doing games. I'm burnt out after, okay, so I need to take it easy.
So how long was that?
That was 3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay.
Yeah.
And how long was a couple months ago?
A couple months ago.
Okay. Yeah. But then once the sticker hits ended, then you got right back into it almost full time.
Not really.
Okay.
Because of swimming?
Oh, yeah.
We've had this conversation before, and there was one day when Muggs didn't drive Uber because he went swimming.
Yeah.
That was his, and it made sense to him.
Yeah.
Perfect.
How many times have you driven Uber?
Since
the sticker thing a couple of months ago when you started taking time off.
I believe I have the number right here, and it's six trips.
Wait, six days?
No. Six trips.
In 2 months?
Yeah.
So six different fares, were they all in one day?
They were spread out over 3 days.
3 days.
Yeah.
How much did you, a ton, you had to make a ton in those six trips to have spread it out like that?
Define a ton.
Did you drive someone to Philadelphia? That's why you didn't have to work the rest of the month?
That'd be sweet. I can't wait until I get one of those fares, like where they have to go far. But no,
take me to the Mexican border or whatever. Yeah,
it was all local. You know, Hollywood to Santa Monica.
Okay, so one day was what of the three? Let's recap the three.
The first day I was back, I did two trips.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
with a total of $15.70 in fares.
Okay,
which I take $12.56 after. Because Uber takes a percentage.
I see. And then did you go eat on that day?
Yeah, actually, after I made my $12.56, I went to Philippe's in downtown L.A. And got myself two roast beef sandwiches.
Yeah.
Right, I was starving. I mean, two trips.
After
really,
that kind of work.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
exhausting to drive, Kevin. You know that.
Mm-hmm. So pretty much, I got a free lunch that day.
So he spent
the $12.56 on lunch.
He looks at that like a free lunch. It's not a free lunch, Beer Mug.
Technically, it is because it wasn't my money. It was Uber money.
Right, but you had to pay for the gas that you used for those. You're down that amount.
I had a full tank at that point, so I wasn't really concerned about the gas.
Right, but you understand that it's still going to cost you. Those trips are still going to cost you when you fill back up.
But how great is it to be able to get that money instantly and then go spend it on lunch after? It's like you never even have to spend your own money.
The good thing is that you're independently wealthy, so you don't need to put that money anywhere else.
No.
I get that. Especially the new payment
on my car.
I get that's a great feeling. I really do. But then I guess my disconnect with you, Muggs, is why don't you go, all right, well, that was cool. I paid for lunch. Now I got to make some money to put in the bank or pay for other bills or something like that. Go back out for another 2-3 hours in the afternoon since you're already downtown.
Well, I got sidetracked after that.
What does that mean?
Dodgers were on TV or something?
No, football was on TV. And I just felt like going home.
Okay, so that's one of the 3 days that you've done in the last 2 months.
So that was the first day back, actually, after the last 2 months. And the second day I was back, you ready for this? Here it is. I got a whopping $3 fare.
$3?
$3.
You mean the first one of the day?
Yes. And I think I had to go home and take care of some Muggs things after that.
So you drove one fare
for $3?
What is that after they take their fees?
$2.40.
Okay, but why did you even Uber that day if you only had time to do one fare?
I was going to start to...
Work ethic, Bean.
No,
that's right.
I literally was going to dedicate about 4 hours to Uber that day, and then I literally had to go home and take care of some personal stuff. But...
That means he had to poop, by the way.
It's either poop or weed. Those are the two options.
His dealer was coming by.
But here you go.
Okay, so that's day two.
That's day two. And here, in the day since I last Ubered, October 23rd, here we go. Ready? Three trips, $39.24.
Okay.
Huge. Did you go out to eat after that?
I did.
Uh-huh.
How much did you spend on that?
I think $10 at McDonald's.
Okay.
All right. So you're still up.
So
who can eat $10 worth of food at McDonald's?
Have you met
this man right here?
All right, so you made 29.
So, yeah, so about 29 I took home. So my weekly summary payout, my total payout net, $47.60.
Muggs,
in 2 months.
Why don't you like Uber? You thought you were going to enjoy it and this was perfect for you. What is it you don't like about it? Like, what is it when it gets to be noon today, what is it that makes you not want to go out and drive?
It's not necessarily that I don't like Uber being. This is comparable to my diet, I think, because remember the last time I lost like 30 pounds?
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to lose another 30. I don't know if you guys knew that.
We didn't, but can't tell.
I like to get back into things slow, nice and easy.
I see.
Toes in the water first.
Okay, so you don't want to rush it.
Don't want to rush
it. Right.
So I'm taking it slow, you know? Little Uber drive here, little Uber drive there.
And you're taking it really slow.
Yeah, I need to pick it up, I guess, is what you're saying.
You think?
I think you keep doing what you're doing.
All right. Done.
Spectre, or as Dave calls it, our producer Dave calls it, Spectra. In theaters on November 6th, it's the latest in the 007 series of James Bond movies. It looks awesome. By all accounts, it is awesome. Daniel Craig is back as James Bond. If you are a fan of the series, you're going to want to see it ahead of its opening on November 6th. K-Rock screening on November 4th on the Sony Pictures backlot. We are looking for you at 1-800-520-1067. You are going to have some familiarity with the James Bond series. That's your hint. Give you a chance to earn those tickets coming up next on K-Rock.
Remember we were talking a few days ago about the New Kids on the Block? Cruise.
Yeah.
Yes, our friend Adam Ray went on it and said that it was unbelievable. Thousands of women there just to worship New Kids on the Block over a weekend on the boat.
Just the opposite of that is the cruise with Star Trek. There's a Star Trek cruise.
Why do you say opposite?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Bunch of women that want to, I mean, come on, these are going to be all dudes, right?
Well, they're going to be fans that are going to be enthusiastic about the product. Yeah,
right. But it's, 100% guys.
It's no, I think there are some the women who are into Star Trek, too.
Mm.
Look, it's not for me, and I have to be honest that I regret that this article from the Huffington Post includes the headline, Sail Long and Prosper. I wish that had I wish those words weren't on the page. The cruise will set sail from Miami in 2017, by the way.
Oh, busy. Oh, I'm so busy.
So they're planning ahead, sailing to ports of call in Cozumel and the Bahamas. And here's the best part about it. Guess who the captain of the Star Trek ocean cruise is? William Shatner, ladies and gentlemen.
It's kind of worth it right there.
That's kind of awesome. Bill Shatner joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show to tell us more about the cruise. Hi, Bill. Welcome back to the program, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. I mean, this is very exciting news that you're going to be the captain of an ocean liner.
I can't wait to be the captain of an ocean liner.
You must get requests like this every day to do stuff around Star Trek, yes?
Well, you know, it's even more so now because we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of Star Trek.
Oh, okay. All right. This cruise doesn't take off until 2017.
Yes, it'll be the 51st anniversary of Star Trek. We're celebrating the very popular 51st anniversary.
Okay.
The show, of course, came on television in 1966,
right,
which will make this 51 years
right
to celebrate.
And you're going to be like 85 or something like that by the time this cruise finally takes to the ocean. And I just,
what's your point, Pete?
Well, I'm just saying it's still unbelievable to me how much you do, how busy you are at your age. You don't slow down a bit.
No, I don't have to swim behind the boat. I get to ride on the boat. I can do that at my age.
All right, Bill, tell us some of the stuff that's going to be on the cruise.
Well, first of all, I will be the captain.
Right.
The cruise, okay. Which means that I will be in the con of the ship. And we're going to have parties and Star Trek-themed cocktails.
Okay.
Like Tranya, which was a popular drink on Star Trek.
Oh.
Romulan Ale.
Reference.
I'm sorry, what?
Romulan Ale.
Okay.
Okay.
Another popular drink on Star Trek.
Right.
We'll be having games. Star Trek games.
What time is? What type of Star Trek games?
Like Vulcan Limbo. We have to go under a stick. Try not to knock it off a stand with your ears.
All right.
We'll be doing comedy shows and concerts.
Comedy shows and concerts.
Yes, I'll be doing a little stand-up comedy.
Really?
Okay. All right.
How many tribbles does it take to fill up an Uber?
I can't imagine.
Just one, because they procreate so quickly?
Well, there's time to work on it.
Okay. I'll also be performing some musical numbers.
Musical numbers. Well, you're great at that. You're a tremendous recording artist.
I'll be doing Fetty Wap.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh.
That's a choice.
I'll be rapping.
Rapping?
Yes. I will also be singing, of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to hear a little?
I would love. Of course. Very much so. I'd love to hear a little.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river. Or in this case, a sea, because this is an ocean liner. I need to rework those lyrics.
It does sound like it. Do you have any of the rap available for us?
I do.
Okay.
Yes, I'm Slim Shady. I'm the real Slim Shady. Those others, Slim Shadys, are just not the real Slim Shady, because I am.
I gotta go on this cruise now.
Drop the mic.
This is the worst thing I've ever participated in my professional life.
Hey, Sean Connery, the original James Bond in the movies. How are you?
Hello, Bean Baxter, radio personality on K-Rock FM. How are you?
Well, we're doing great, Sir Sean.
Has everyone been significantly identified now at this point?
I was just
with Kevin Ryder, Ally McKay.
For our listeners, I just thought they might want to know that Sean Connery is here. He played Bond, and that's why he's here to help us give away some tickets.
I was the original Bond.
Right.
The first, and many say the best.
A lot of people do say that. Although Daniel Craig is a great Bond, though, you got to admit, Sir Sean.
For a pansy.
Spectre is the new film. It opens everywhere on November 6th. It's going to be great. You can see it 2 days early on the Sony Pictures backlot. It's a K-Rock Advance screening with a game that we like to call... Hey, what are we calling this game, by the way?
It's called Bond Villains.
Bond Villains.
Bond Villains. Name the flick. And you just might win the tick. It's this game is sick. It's about Bond villains.
Bond villains. Got it.
Yes.
What do you think about that guy?
That James Bond has faced over the years.
Okay.
What I will do is give you the name of the villain and the evil scheme of the villain.
Okay.
And then you need to identify the featured film that that villain was in.
Okay. Well, that sounds easy enough for Bond fans. Ali, you're going to be you're going to have the urge to jump in and spoil the game for the listeners because you know this.
Yes, but pipe down, woman.
Pipe down, woman.
Or else
exactly.
You get the back of my hand.
Well, I don't know that that's...
That's not the worst thing you can do to a woman.
Appropriate.
I would never strike a woman with a closed fist.
Okay. Oh, Sean,
only with an open hand.
Can we get back to the
Sometimes they just
Spectre?
Won't let it go.
Right. Let's not make this personal. Let's just give away
Sometimes
some tickets.
Sometimes they won't make you paella when you ask for it.
If we could just do the contest, do you mind?
Paella.
All right. Let's go to Omar in Los Angeles. Hi there, Omar.
Hey, how's it going, party people?
Very good, thank
you. Omar, are you a James Bond fan?
I'd like to think so.
I would like to think so as well, but we don't know if that's true or not, do we? All right, let's find out. I will describe for you this Bond villain. You try to name the James Bond movie. This media baron named Elliot Carver, the head of the Carver Media Group Network, begins plans to use an encoder.
Bond never dies.
Look at that.
Boom.
You interrupted Sean Connery.
You son of a bitch.
That is bold and brave.
If you were here, I'd snap you like a twig. But you're not, so I'll give you tickets instead.
You're going to see the movie on the Sony lots on the 4th. Congratulations. Hold on,
please. All right, thank you.
That was impressive.
That was.
Let's go to...
Pierce Brosnan starred in that one, pansy.
Let's go, let's go to Brad in Roland Heights. Hi there, Brad.
Hello.
Hello, Brad.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right, you son of a bitch. This villain plans to blow up Fort Knox to render the gold bars stored there worthless and increase the value of his own gold.
That would be Ulrich Goldfinger.
That's right, Goldfinger is the film. Well done, sir.
Nicely done.
By the way, you foiled that plot, but it was a pretty good idea, right?
It was a crappy idea, actually.
Oh, really? I thought it sounded like it might have worked.
Yes, well, it wouldn't have.
Right, I'm not going to argue
All
with
right.
Sean Connery. I know that much.
Let's go to Daniel in Fullerton. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello, Daniel. Here's your villain. Name the film. Francisco Scaramanga is a high-priced assassin charging $1 million per kill. He plans to steal a solar energy controller and also assassinate James Bond in this film.
Oh, Pistols, the man with the golden gun.
The man with the golden gun, indeed.
Wow. These are very impressive contestants,
three,
Sean.
I got to tell you, everybody
that
loves the James Bond movies.
Roger Moore, yeah. Huge pansy.
Did you like any of the other Bonds besides
Can't
you?
Can't get enough of the dong. That Moore,
I don't think that's true.
Moore
that's
dong,
true
we should call
that
him back in the old days.
True at all.
More right. dong is less dong for everyone else,
let's
I
go
used to say.
Let's go to Harrison in Anaheim. Hi there.
What you doing, you stupid asses?
Oh, you. I love your voice, Harrison.
I'll play your game, you rogue.
Yes. Is this Harrison Ford? He always loves to play
this
gag on me.
Hunter, you bastard.
You bastard. All right, here's your villain. Name the film. Raul Silva hacks into MI6 to leak photos of the agents onto the internet, causing a scandal in MI6 and murdering M.
That would be, the Skyfall.
Yeah.
Well done.
Where was your funny voice then? You started to panic a little bit.
Listen, you stupid ass.
Listen to me!
Move on, you bastard.
I'll force feed you haggis in your rectum.
Okay. Let's put him on hold right away, please.
Four for four.
On Spectre tickets,
I
who's
like
our next
to think
contestant?
It's the host that is causing all the success. Because, as you know, I always wanted to host a game show.
Really?
I did not know that.
Yes. Called Wheel of Shut the Hell Up.
All right. Let's go to Aurelio in Los Angeles.
Aurelio.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Hello from inside.
Hello.
From inside the wind tunnel, are you? All right. Put up your convertible top while you're driving and let's play the game. All right.
Yes, sir.
Here's the villain. Electra King assassinates her father, Robert King, to take over his oil business and expand her pipelines and monopolize the oil market in this film.
Dang it.
One of the few female Bond villains.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes.
We do need a guess.
I know. GoldenEye.
No, I'm sorry. It was a Pierce Brosnan film, The World Is Not Enough.
Oh.
Ah. Just drive into a pylon.
Okay, I don't
Take
think he
your
needs
own
to
life.
Die just because he
it's
got it
useless.
Wrong.
It's useless. Anyone who doesn't know Bond films is freaking useless.
Wow. Uh-oh. All right. All right.
I'll give him the back of my hand.
Let's got time for another one?
And the front of my penis.
Let's go to Miguel in San Gabriel. Hi there.
Hello there.
Hello, Miguel. Here's your film villain, name the movie. Hugo Drax plans to fire a nerve agent from space, poison Earth, and rebuild humanity in his own image in outer space.
Moonwalker.
Ooh, sorry.
Moonwalker.
Too early, didn't I?
I mean,
you rang the bell a bit too soon.
Well, I heard moon.
That's
I thought
like
he's
when
got
you're
it.
With your wife, you finished too quickly and left everyone else unsatisfied.
Let's give Miguel another shot at that. What's the name of that movie? We might not have heard you correctly, Miguel.
Oh, I said Moonwalker. Moonwaker.
Moonwaker?
Moonwaker, I thought he said.
Moonwaker?
I heard Moonlicker.
it was Moonraker.
Raker like you rake leaves.
Yeah. Okay, Miguel.
All
take
right,
care.
All right.
Bye, Miguel.
Poor bastard took his own life.
Let's try one more, okay? I don't want to go out on Miguel.
No, he's going to take it so hard.
I would have tried
to be more sympathetic.
Sure. Santa Clarita. Let's say good morning to Mondo.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Mondo.
Sure. Let's do this.
All right.
Let's do this.
Here's your villain. Emilio Largo plans to extort £1 million from the world's governments by threatening them with stolen nuclear warheads. The money will be used
Thunderball.
Thunderball!
Yeah! Look at that.
Oh, Mondo,
you've made an old Scottish man very happy.
You are going to see Spectre on the Sony Pictures backlot on November 4th. It is in theaters everywhere November the 6th. Thank you so much to Sean Connery for playing Bond Villains.
Blow me!
Bond Villains. And now, a moment with Ralph.
I mean, if they both swipe right, I think we got a love connection here.
Or if she goes with Mario
The Rubio guy.
That was A Moment with Ralph.
A lot of shows still to come today, including the executive producer of Hellavator, Jason Blum, is going to be on the program today. Also, we'll talk to DeAndre Jordan from your Los Angeles Clippers and give away some tickets to the home opener, which is going to be Thursday night at Staples Center. Right now, though, I think we're going to open up the phones for What's Good, right?
That is correct. Yeah, What's Good? 1-800-520-1067. Anything that you want to talk about that maybe we're not discussing on today's program or we haven't discussed?
You got questions, you got comments, you got stories in the news, you want to talk about something going on, you need advice in your personal life, we are the guys to help you. 1-800-520-1067. Time for the Showbiz Beat now with Ralph Garman.
When you talk to DeAndre Jordan,
yeah,
you have to have him do his Charles Barkley impression for you.
Okay.
Oh, no kidding.
Because it's freaking brilliant.
Where'd you see that?
DeAndre and I and Blake Griffin and some other folks did a staged reading of the movie Space Jam. Mm-hmm. We did a live reading with Jensen Carr, put it together, and some other funny people. And we had Blake starring in the Michael Jordan role. And I played a series of cartoon characters, Porky Pig and Yosemite Sam and Sylvester the Cat and a bunch of others. And we had DeAndre play several roles, but most importantly, he played Charles Barkley in the movie. And he brought down the house with his impression while we were doing the stage reading of the script. So
that's awesome.
I recommend it highly. You can check that out. I think we're on YouTube. At least a portion of that night is. But you can check it out. It's very, very funny. Friday night. Down there in Irvine, California, we are doing Hollywood Babylon back in Orange County again for the first time in a long time. And because it is the eve before Halloween, we're calling it Hollywood Boobalon. Yes, it's just that kind of comedy you can expect on Friday night. Come with a costume because we're going to be giving out prizes for the best costumes. I'm going to be dressing up. You wait till you see my costume.
As?
Well, let's just say it'd be more than a little nudity. That's all I'm saying.
How much? No, thank you.
Just my genitals. My genitals will be out. Everything else will be covered.
Everything else will be covered.
Yes.
No.
Going as a Q-tip. I'm going to wear a white fur hat and white fur boots and then just naked throughout.
No way.
No, I won't be doing that. Come on down. It's at the Improv in Irvine. You can go to improv.com. Click on Irvine for all the details and get your tickets. Me and Kevin Smith with Hollywood Babylon back in Orange County. Looking forward to it. As much, almost, as I'm looking forward to Cher the musical. That's right. You heard me.
What?
Yep. You know the people who did Jersey Boys, did the musical about the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons? That was a huge hit on Broadway. Mamma Mia, of course, was the big ABBA musical. Well, there's going to be a musical about the life and career of Cher. Cher the musical.
Okay.
Does anybody need to see that?
I can't imagine.
Does she have enough hits to carry a Broadway musical?
Oh, yeah, she does.
Oh, yes.
She does, but I don't know what the level of interest is in Cher.
What's your favorite Cher hit of all time?
The Beat Goes On.
That's Sonny and Cher. How about just Cher?
Well, that's still Cher,
How about
though?
Cher?
That Turn Back Time one.
If I could turn back time.
I liked
that's
a lot
all everyone
of
knows.
Over
that's
and
the
over.
Only, that's yeah. the only song people know.
What about Dark Lady? What about Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves? What about... She's had a lot of hits on her own.
I don't know what language you're speaking, son, but it's not English. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, they have one ticket sold.
They have one fan. Ticket sold. Well, he's not actually going to buy and go.
No,
but he would.
But everyone loves Believe, though. Everybody loves the song Believe by Cher, right?
Sure.
Believe alone and alone.
That's a great song.
Yeah, that's going to be a great night at the theater. 2 hours of that sound coming in your ears. Speaking of sounds, Justin Bieber.
Guilty.
He's not been charged with anything, but apparently he was wakeboarding in Europe, and he popped his eardrum. So he had to wear a yellow earplug during the MTV European Music Awards.
It had to be yellow?
This week, I guess so. But everybody kept asking why he had that big plug in his ear. Apparently he popped his eardrum wakeboarding.
Maybe he won't be able to make any more music.
No, see, that's the problem. That's the cruel injustice of it all, is that those of us who need to have our hearing impaired because of the music he creates, we can hear fine. His ear goes, but his voice is still working.
Yeah.
There's no Jesus. If there was a Jesus, it would have popped his throat while he was wakeboarding, right?
Is that something you can do?
Sure, you pop your throat. It happens all the time. Open up a wakeboarding blog, Kevin. Take a read. The most common wakeboarding injury is the popped throat.
And that ain't right.
That ain't right. That he can still sing but can't hear. He can't hear. He doesn't get the damage inflicted upon him at all. But those of us with two perfectly good ears, ugh. Sorry. This new hit song called Ad Nauseam.
Hey, Ralph, we had a problem with our phone lines went down, so we lost some callers. So
what are we gonna do?
We're back up now, but I apologize to the people who were calling for Kevin Beans What's Good. They wanted to get on the air to talk to us. The phones are back up and they are working. You can call at 1-800-520-106. And we'll talk to you right after that.
There is no Jesus. You're right.
So call now and we'll get back to you later.
I'm saying call now and we'll talk to you just after 7 o'clock.
I'm sorry. And
Where were we?
We were...
Right there.
Look at her. Look at her with this. Look at this one with that.
Her does that a lot to bad music.
It's a 3-second hook, and then they just repeat it. It's on a loop. That's not a song.
It's pretty catchy, though.
It's not catchy.
Yeah, it's pretty catchy.
Like Syphilis. That's also catchy. Doesn't make it good.
Well.
Boom.
And this is confusing to me. I need some clarification.
Okay.
Fox has announced a new 2-hour competition show that Cal Penn will be hosting called Superhuman, where 12 contestants will compete to see which of them has the most superhuman abilities.
Superhuman abilities.
Yes.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Spoilers. No one has superhuman abilities.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like a flawed
concept.
Not with
that attitude.
Not about an attitude. No. It's just about science. I mean, some people can do things a little better than other people, but it doesn't make them superhuman. These aren't mutants. This isn't Professor X. Nobody's going to be able to set a fire with their mind or fly or move objects. It'd
be pretty cool if they could, though, right?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying this show is going to be a disappointment because no one can do that. Apparently, 12 contestants will battle in fields of memory, hearing, taste, touch, smell, and sight. The one that has superhuman abilities will win $100,000. Oh, I can taste the crap out of this food. You win, sir. What's happening? What's going on?
This is superheroes are running the world right now. Let's do something around that topic. That's what this is.
Are there any real superheroes?
No.
Well, find people who do impressive things. And we'll call them superheroes. Get Cal Penn on the phone. What's happening? Today's celebrity birthdays. Kelly Osbourne's 31 years old today. Patrick Fugit celebrates his 33rd birthday. Very talented actor. Scott Weiland's 48. Simon Le Bon, the singer of Duran Duran, of course, 57. And actor John Cleese, from Python fame and Fawlty Towers and just being an all-around funny man, 76. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday morning. At least once a day, we try to carve out some time for your telephone calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. It's a feature that we like to call What's Good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
And today we do have a super secret bonus prize that we'll give to our best caller at the end of the segment. That's not why you call, but if we enjoy your call, you might win a prize. And it's a good one today that I think you'll like very much. Why don't we start with, let's start with Armando. He's in Buena Park. He'll get us going here on line 3. He's got a question that is very appropriate as we get toward the holidays.
Hey, Armando. What's good?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Morning.
So when is it a good time to start Christmas shopping? With, avoiding all the lines and stuff.
Is it a good time?
I don't want to be stuck. Yeah.
Well,
and
I think May or June really is the safest if you really want to avoid those holiday lines.
Bean, are you done already?
No. So I'm late?
No, I was asking Bean because he's one of those guys that he's like, yeah, I'm done. I got one more, you know. But
have you started, Bean?
No. Oh, I bought a few things throughout the year. But here's the key. I know it's impossible to put yourself in the Christmas mood for a lot of people when it gets, you know, summertime. But if you see something that is perfect for a person that you know, go ahead and buy it rather than have to remember it and come back and buy it 6 months later. There's nothing wrong with that. But I will say, honestly, I think more people are mono. And it sounds like this is where you're headed. More people should just try to commit to getting their Christmas shopping done in November. Just make in your mind, have your deadline be December 1st. Believe me, you will feel so good about that, as everybody else is miserable in the weeks leading up to Christmas because they're running around like crazy people, and you're already be done.
Yeah, so I guess by Thanksgiving I should be done already.
Yeah. You can shoot for that. Seriously, it just doesn't make any sense to wait another month after that if you don't have to. If you have the time and you have the money, go ahead and buy your Christmas presents in November.
There's a certain adrenaline rush that you get, though, mm-hmm. when you're going out on the 24th. Like, this is like really, it's really time sensitive.
I'll probably do that for my girlfriend's gift then.
Yes.
Well done. Yes. Well done.
Armando, happy holidays. Look, we're past 5/6 Christmas now, so it's here, you guys. It's time. All right, let's take Lisa. She's on the 405 right now. Mm-hmm. She's from Long Beach. I don't know where she's headed. Lisa, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's good?
Yes, is this thing on? Just kidding.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I am a longtime listener from the Stone Age, and I'm waiting for my Halloween spook. Come on, you have a small window of opportunity. Hit it, Steve. Somebody help me out.
Steve, we play Halloween Spooks. We played it yesterday on the show, for instance. But look, we don't know what your schedule is, Lisa, when you happen to be listening. We are playing it.
That's why I called in, to bring you guys on board. I'm available.
Lisa said hit it, Steve.
She is available. All right, let's give her a little bit of Halloween Spooks here just to make her happy.
So you were thinking we were going to play it?
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, I thought that was the setup for that. Yeah. Oh. Is that not happening?
Well, I mean, yes, it'll happen in about 6 seconds.
Steve,
how can you not find it, Steve?
What the hell?
How did you not have
Steve?
Oh, it must have been erased. I wonder who did that.
All right. Thank you for the call, Lisa. I'm sorry we disappointed you so much. Let's go to Mike in Wilmington. Hey, I tried. I don't know what to tell you. Let's go to Mike in Wilmington. He's on line one. He's got a What's Good topic for us, too.
Hey, Mike. Hello, Mike.
How's it going, guys? Good morning.
Thank you. What's
good?
So just real quick, you guys have turned me on to a lot of great shows. You know, I'm a long-time listener. I've watched Breaking Bad, you know, recently Gotham because of you guys'
input. Awesome.
I'm a little concerned that you guys have never talked about, I mean, you kind of breeze through it, you know, bare face and stuff like that when actors and when it comes to Game of Thrones, I mean, I don't think any of you guys watches it. I mean, I know we're in the off-season right now, but the reason why I'm calling is maybe one of you guys, you know, right now in the off-season, somebody has time to watch, you know, 50 episodes and catch up and you can talk about the show. I mean, it's the biggest show in the world.
Look, everybody that watches it raves about it, but I can't. 50 of you saying 50 hours of that show between now and when it comes back?
Well, you have till April, dude. I mean, what? You don't have time in your DVR for just soccer. I mean, just soccer and hockey.
Well, I got a lot of that.
Got a good point.
Got a lot of
right
soccer,
there.
A lot of hockey. Look, but I'm also like yesterday I was behind on The Walking Dead, so I watched that. Today I'm behind on Gotham. I mean, it's hard to think about a whole nother series.
I'm adding Wicked City tonight because Chuck Bass from Gossip Girl's on it. I mean, I got a lot going on, Mike.
We're so busy, Mike.
I completely understand it, but it is the biggest show.
Yeah,
in the world.
I know. It's very popular.
I know. Bean is like, I don't like sandals and swords.
It's true.
And
that's not my era.
Sandals and swords. Hang on. I'd like to hear some more of Bean from Mike, please.
Mike, the truth of the matter is. Yes,
Bean, let Mike talk.
Go ahead,
Mike.
I have to curate my Christmas album for my lifetime.
All right. Are you through making fun of the host whose radio show you just called into, Mike? Are we done with that?
You know segment why of the program? Because I love you, man.
Yeah.
I love you.
Well, you're very kind. All right, Mike, hold on. We have some important business to take care of.
Mike,
you want to give it to Mike? All right, go back to Mike.
Yeah, definitely.
I felt so bad for Lisa because we rejected her.
Yeah.
And Mike, here's the deal for you, my friend. A pair of tickets this Sunday night for Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas with Danny Elfman. You will be at the Hollywood Bowl Sunday night in the fourth row. How's that sound?
Oh, my God. That's awesome. I always try to win it. I never won it. I never get through one. Now there's no contest, I suddenly win something, man. Thank you, guys. I love it. Thank I love your show. I've been listening for years.
I'm sorry, but thank us as being, please.
Thank you. I'm going to go make me some chocolate milk.
You are confusing me, Kevin. Which thing are we doing here?
Oh, we're doing the other thing here.
That's
I'm
why
so
I don't know what you're trying to do here. You're steering me down the wrong path here, son.
So we're doing the other thing and not the thing.
Yeah. Okay, let's do the thing.
We'll do the thing. My bad.
I want to thank our friend Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter, who reached out to me over the weekend to give me a tip that they had exclusively obtained the unsealed testimony of Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke in the Blurred Lines trial. Remember a couple years ago, those guys were sued over the Blurred Lines song by the estate of Marvin Gaye, who claimed that that song was just a ripoff of Marvin Gaye's song Got to Give It Up. And they lost that case. They had to pay like $5-7 million or something like that to the Gaye estate. And it is under appeal right now. So we heard some of the details of the testimony a year ago when it happened, but now we actually can see the video. And I got to tell you, you have never seen a more miserable person under oath than Pharrell Williams.
Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't had the joy of being in a deposition, they suck.
They really? Do suck.
Yeah, yeah. Because the opposing lawyers can just bully you and make stuff up out of nothing and just add, they can do, there's no rules basically. They can do whatever they want to do to you.
Yeah, they don't have the same restrictions that they would have in court where something has to be relevant, for instance, and legal. They can ask whatever you want. But I got to tell you, the line of questioning did not seem outrageous in this case, but Pharrell Williams was having none of it. First of all, he's too rich to be in a deposition, right? He
sure.
doesn't have time for nonsense like this. Here's a little bit of the testimony, and they're talking about various terms that are used in writing music, and Pharrell Williams had made a reference to one that the attorney interrogating him had some questions about.
Define a bluegrass chord structure, please.
I'm not here to teach you music.
Please define it.
I'm not here to teach you music.
Does that mean you can't do it?
No.
It means you can do it, you just don't want to?
Means I'm not comfortable.
So then, and if I ask you more questions about that, you'll just keep saying you're not comfortable, right? You just won't answer my question.
Bro, whatever you want to do, man.
What do you mean by 6-8 time signature?
6-8 time signature.
What do you mean by that?
She knows. I have to tell her to break it down to you.
I want you to break it down to me.
You don't need me to do that.
So you're not going to do it?
You have me at the colleges right there.
Does that mean you can't do it?
It means I'm not comfortable, and you have someone that's completely apt and prepared to do it right there beside you.
Okay. Define what you meant by pentatonic harmonies.
She's right there.
So you're not going to answer the question?
I'm not comfortable.
Are you going to tell me what you meant by 6-8 time signature and what you meant by pentatonic harmonies or not?
I'm not comfortable.
Are you refusing to answer my question about what you meant by minor?
Listen, man. Listen. You have a musicologist to the left of you.
Are you refusing to answer my question?
I'm telling you, I'm not comfortable.
Frosty, right?
I am not comfortable.
I'm not comfortable was an acceptable answer.
Oh.
Well, that's an excellent point, Kevin. And in this next clip with the deposition with Pharrell Williams, the attorney will basically say to him, look, it's a yes or no question. You can't just tell. I don't care whether you're comfortable, he says at one point. It does get worse.
Can you please tell me on page 11 the names of the notes that are depicted?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable.
Okay, so the answer is you can't answer the question?
The answer is I'm not comfortable.
Okay, so you can't, yes or no, can you identify the names of the notes, yes or no?
I'm not comfortable.
What I want to know is can you identify the names of those notes?
I'm giving my answer.
Yes or no, can you
I'm
do it?
I'm not comfortable.
So are you refusing to answer my question?
I'm not refusing, I'm giving you the most I can give you.
Can you identify the names of the notes that are depicted on page 11, the charts represented on page 11?
I'm not comfortable.
Is that going to be your answer to any question that I ask you, if I would ask you to identify names of notes?
I don't know.
I'm just asking you whether you can read notes, and you told me you could, and I'm asking you to identify the notes
right.
that are shown.
Right.
And you can't do it, can you?
I'm not comfortable.
Okay. So he's just there so he won't get fined, is what we've learned about.
He's the Marshawn Lynch of
the music world. And how do you break a standoff like that? I mean, the attorney can ask him all day, but if the person being interviewed doesn't answer him, there's no way to be. I mean, again, we're not in court, so he can't be held in contempt, I don't think. He can't be sent to jail for refusing to answer a question.
Plus, he's not lying.
Right.
Right.
When he says,
I'm not comfortable,
right.
that's not a lie.
Yeah, it's got to be a very frustrating thing. And again, and I go back to this, Pharrell Williams, too damned rich to be dealing with nonsense like that, right? All right, so there's, again, you can go to The Hollywood Reporter and you can see a lot more. There's, I don't know, 15 minutes of tape or something like that on Pharrell.
I feel like we've heard a lot of that. We've heard enough, probably.
All right, now let's talk about Robin Thicke, who my impression is that Robin Thicke showed up and Pharrell had the song for him. I watched a lot of this yesterday. It looked to me like Robin Thicke contributed very little to this song. Pharrell Williams is a musical genius. He's the guy who came up with the lyrics. He's the guy who came up with the melody. He's the guy who came up with the hey, hey, hey. You know, he knows how to put a beat together. Robin Thicke, I don't know what he contributed to it other than he probably paid Pharrell Williams for his services so that he could record the song. We don't have as much tape on Thicke, but what we do have is going to shine his life in a new light for you, including this question.
Now, I don't believe that I asked you this question, but you are not disputing that you said those words that are in that interview or in the prior interviews that I've showed you.
With all due respect, I was high and drunk every time I did an interview last year.
Oh. So I
didn't know that was a defense.
What? I don't know if what's happening here is Robin Thicke. Because again, I only saw tiny little clips of the Robin Thicke testimony. Oh. Is his defense, hey, don't come at me, bro, about ripping off this Marvin Gaye song because I was just high and drunk and I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know what I was saying. I mean, is he basically trying to say I can't be held responsible for anything?
I had some exes that did that for accountability.
Like really?
I was drunk and high. I boned her.
I think he's saying legally, I don't know. Legally, I can't
incapacitated.
I can't blame.
Yeah.
I need to write that down.
So he was asked.
Because I won't remember.
He was asked about all the various interviews that he did, and I'm assuming that what they're pointing to is, hey, you went on Oprah and said you wrote this song. That's what they're trying to get from him, is that he wrote the song, right? Let's see what he says about that.
Do you make it a habit of being dishonest when you give interviews?
When I give interviews, I tell whatever I want to say to help sell records.
All right, very charming.
Oh,
wow.
Jeez.
Wait, that earlier point, could we run by that again?
And Mr. Thicke, I do have to ask you, when you did the interview that we just played from VH1, were you drunk and on Vicodin?
I didn't do a single interview last year without being high on both.
Okay. So the answer to my question is yes.
Yes.
By the way, remember his campaign to win his ex-wife Paula back?
Yeah, it was pathetic.
I wonder why she didn't go back with him. He sounds like such a delightful guy. And finally, and I think this is really my favorite question of the whole testimony.
Do you consider yourself an honest person?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robin Thicke, for your consideration. Robert Carrera from Monterey Park, way to be. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You just won your tickets to the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball, which is going to be this Friday night with Cage the Elephant. Boy, they're a great live band, by the way.
Yes, they are.
Had them on the Weenie Rose, had them on Acoustic Christmas. So much fun. Peking Duck performing as well. Also DJ Jeremiah Red. It's going to be Friday at the El Rey. K-Rock DJs will be there. A costume contest with a $5,000 grand prize. Your chance to win coming up between now and the end of today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Tell me about Supergirl. Did you guys watch it?
I did.
I saw me some Supergirl.
Good.
I really enjoyed it.
I am with Jeb Bush 100%. I'll tell you, he's got a good eye for talent.
Well, besides that, though, it was a delightful show. She's so charming, though.
That's my takeaway, though.
Above that, she's charming, and she genuinely, there's just this sense of the show that, oh,
but you put glasses on her and put her working in a newspaper just like her famous cousin Superman, and all of a sudden nobody recognizes her as the woman who's all over the news as Supergirl.
Shut up!
Oh.
Roland?
Hello? I won't have you speak poorly of Supergirl, Bean.
Why are you on the air with us right now?
Because I heard on my radio you finally talking about something that matters.
All right, well, then you should be happy. Then why are you bugging us? Why did you leave us?
Put glasses on her. Nobody knows it. Shut up.
But that's true. That's just like with Superman. They're like, why does nobody recognize Clark Kent as Superman? Why does nobody recognize
She is meek and mild and seemingly ineffectual and weak. And so no one could possibly expect her to be a superhero. It would be as if you became a superhero, Bean.
Good point, Roland.
How dare you?
Nobody would ever suspect that DJ Spina Bifida, who falls off of stages and has tubes coming out of his eye and faints when he gets out of bed, breaks his ribs on a radiator.
Okay, that's
enough. No one would ever guess that you could be a powerful hero that protects and saves people. It would be
incomprehensible.
All right, Roland, since you're on, I do have a couple of questions. Thank you, actually, for being there, because I'm a little bit confused about this origin story. So Kara left Krypton the same time as her cousin Kal-El.
Kara Zor-El, daughter of Zor-El, younger brother of Jor-El, was also sent in a rocket to go to the planet Earth to protect her infant cousin, Kal-El,
okay,
who, as we know, grew up to be the Man of Steel.
Why didn't they just put them in one capsule? Why separate them and send two separate capsules?
It seems... Oh, sweet Jesus.
No, that's a legitimate question. It's a lot of resources.
Will not see, because it's... they are too small a brain to comprehend the wonders that are Superman.
Put two little kids in one capsule. That way somebody else can go in the other capsule and everybody on the planet doesn't have to die.
Okay, let's put two tiny children in a dry cleaner bag. Then why don't you just do that?
What are you talking about?
But that would be instant death because they only had two small rockets that were only capable of carrying one child.
Wow, they could ill-conceived then.
They couldn't build a bigger rocket?
Well, here's the thing. They were in kind of a rush because their planet was going to explode. They had all the time in the world to start a conveyor belt, an assembly line, and crank out some SUV superhero rocket ships where it would be nice and comfy with third optional seating.
All right. I don't like it. All right, so what happens?
That is the way it was on Krypton. You don't have to like it.
You know it's not real. You know the whole thing is made up. We're just talking fantasy here, right? You know that, Roland.
Well, if Pluto can be considered a planet again, then so can Krypton.
What's the deal with how Supergirl gets waylaid and is in suspended animation for like 25 years? I don't understand that part of the story at all.
Well, in this incarnation, she is thrust by the explosion of Krypton into the Phantom Zone.
Okay. Now, what's that?
The Phantom Zone is that nebulous space-time continuum where criminals from Krypton have been placed forever to be imprisoned.
Okay, so it's a prison.
Time does not move inside the Phantom Zone, nor do they truly exist, but they exist purely as, I don't know, let me think, phantoms!
Okay, so how does she get out and then get back to get to Earth?
Because there is a rupture in the Phantom Zone which releases her ship and which goes upon its original course that it was set for Earth. Unfortunately, Fort Roz, also the high maximum security prison that is also being used to hold all those criminals, also is released from the Phantom Zone and also crash lands on the planet, giving Supergirl the responsibility of having to clean up all the extraterrestrial villains that, in essence, she was caused by bringing them to Earth.
Okay, that leads me to my next question, Roland. Again, we're talking about last night's Supergirl premiere on CBS.
Roland, I got to tell you, I've been asking Bean all morning, and I hadn't gotten any of that information. No idea.
Oh, what a surprise. Yeah. The Bean is a little slow on the uptake.
I am. Listen, so Supergirl stays dormant, decides not to use her power for 15 years or something
like
that.
Right, because she chooses to believe that there's no need for her since her cousin Superman pretty much is getting the job done.
Yeah, he's got it handled.
He does. Right. He's the savior that we've all been looking for on the planet Earth.
So what are all of the Krypton prisoners doing during that whole time on Earth?
They are hiding and plotting because they, too, are afeard of Superman and his enormous powers. Wouldn't you be a little scared of a guy who could fly around and kick your ass?
I guess.
What do you mean, I guess?
How did you enjoy the show last night, Roland?
I loved it! First of all, Melissa Benoist.
Yes. Right.
Makes Roland bemoist. Know what I'm saying?
I'm afraid so.
I had to change my underoos several times while watching this show.
Especially
when she was putting on that little fashion show with all the different Supergirl potential costumes.
Right.
That was one that just showed her whole bare midriff.
Yeah, she's attractive. Yeah.
But she wound up not going for that one because it's really not about that, Roland.
Oh, I can't believe she didn't go for that one. I sure could go for that one. I'd like to do a chocolate milk body shot out of her navel.
A chocolate milk shot?
I feel like we've been on the line with you too long now, Roland.
I go blah, 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 blah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
And plus some Halloween music, but not a whole bunch because Halloween's next week.
Right.
Saturday.
But my show won't beyond on Halloween. My show will be on after Halloween.
So then play
we'll figure
Halloween
it out.
Music.
But stay tuned. And
figure
here
it out.
Are the Monkees.
No, that's not Halloween music at all.
I don't have time for the Monkees, actually. But Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin Beat Show. What's going on?
Speaking of music, this was surprising to me, but also sort of pleasing. In a world that we live on, you know, my complaint has been largely that popular music now is just way overproduced, short on talent. High on tricks.
As long as you have a great
high
producer,
yeah.
You don't need much talent.
And you don't have to be much of a singer or a songwriter. They'll fix it all in the edit bay, and then you have a hit on your hands. I think the more technologically advanced we get, the more it covers up just a myriad of sins when it comes to people who are talented or not, more importantly. But the number one album in the country right now is Pentatonix.
Pentatonix,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Which is the five person a cappella group,
right?
And those people are enormously talented, mm-hmm. Great harmonies, and I think it's kind of cool and refreshing. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of their work, but I think it's kind of cool and refreshing that people who can actually sing are being rewarded with a number one album.
And
right
you
now.
Can hear them sing.
Yes, and it's very clear and clean, and they seem to be focused more on the performer than the backing tracks. So good for those guys. As Bean would know this because he's a
yeah.
You got Asperger's. Has any other a cappella group ever achieved the number one album status, Bean?
I have not seen that written about anywhere, but I also don't recall it ever happening before.
Anyway, They debuted at number one this week.
And they've been popular for a long time. I think this is their fifth top 10 album. You know, they're real popular with their Christmas records in particular. But, yeah, they're super
sure.
talented guys.
Well, it's sixth, fifth Christmas.
That's right.
Right behind Pentatonix is what I've been talking about, Demi Lovato. Her new album debuted at number two. Then The Weeknd.
By the way,
third.
Demi Lovato.
It's just The Weeknd, right?
I agree. She's very produced, and she goes to the factory to get her songs made. But she's also very talented and a good singer. I don't know if you saw her performance on SNL a couple of weeks ago. She was real good.
Demi Lovato.
All right. Not so much from you. Got it?
The only one I think really of that whole Disney Channel crowd that kind of came out of that weird baby factory they have over there at Disney where they just make pop stars is Ariana Grande. You can say what you want about her behavior, but her voice, you can't deny. She's got real talent.
Got a great voice.
But the Demi Lovatos of the world. What's the other one? What's the other one who sang?
Selena Gomez.
Christina Aguilera, too.
Yeah, well, that's a different generation. I'm talking about the new crop.
Mm-hmm.
But
you think it's Selena?
Selena Gomez, yeah, not so good, that one either. Machine Gun Kelly was fourth on the list, then Fetty Wap, fifth, The Game, Selena Gomez, Drake and the Future, Taylor Swift, and Coheed and Cambria, top 10.
By the way,
slot.
A little bit of a landmark for the Taylor Swift 1989 album. It came out year ago this week. It has spent 52 consecutive weeks in the Billboard top 10.
Our long national nightmare is not over yet.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Thank
Look,
you.
Whether forget that we're talking about Taylor Swift. For
I
any
can't.
Album, any album.
I'm gonna tell you like this: if you don't shut your ass up, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
He's telling
any
you.
Album in the 21st century that lasts
shut
a
up.
Year.
You don't know nothing about anything.
In the top 10 is impressive. That's all. I'm
shut
saying.
Your mouth and shut it and shut up and shut up.
So you're impressed?
Shut up, Bean. Shut up, Bean. Shut up, Bean.
Yeah.
Shut Bean up.
Right.
Bean, shut up.
Right.
Bean,
f***ing
moron.
Oh, right. Ouch.
Ouch, indeed.
It's a loud beep.
They beep the hell out of that clip.
That really kind of hurt.
Yeah. I feel bad. Okay, moving on.
Because.
No, we love Judy Greer so much.
Yes, we do.
And we love Nat Faxon so much.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
And their show over there on the FX cable network, Married, has been canceled after two seasons. I think Bean feels bad, too, with his comedy death tube.
I do feel bad. I'm very sad about that.
The weird thing is there's no relation to how Bean feels to the death tuba.
That's
yeah.
true.
He can love or hate them, and he'll play the same.
That part. Was a super, super good show.
I thought it was
it
really
was
well
really
done,
good.
Too. Great comedy, and now it's gone. So, nice work, Bean.
FX is getting
shut
on
up.
My
shut
last.
I don't want to hear another word.
First, they cancel our
shut
Judy
Shut up!
Jeffrey.
Will you shut up?
Now our Judy Greer.
Shut up!
ABC Family soon to be called Freeform, let's not forget.
Yeah.
Let's stop using that ABC Family moniker and just move. Let's just jump in with both feet on Freeform. What do you say?
Well, the problem with ABC Family is it gives you some idea of what the channel's about.
Right, but Freeform, anything can happen on Freeform.
You don't have any idea.
They just picked up the second season of their show, Monica the Medium. It's a reality series about a Penn State student named Monica Tenkate who can talk to dead people.
So that's but Judy Greer's out of work.
That was my point, yes. Yeah. We have more Monica the Medium, less of Married. Spoiler alert, she can't really talk to dead people. Because no one can.
How do you know, man?
Monica the Medium. Now, while we're talking television, this is encouraging. Because I loved this show, and I thought it got a raw deal when it was originally on, and I think it could have a lot of potential. There was a famous, what they used to call, anthology series, which meant brand new story, brand new stars, brand new writers and directors each and every week, called The Twilight Zone.
Okay.
And that sort of set the standard for that sort of television programming that was very popular in the 50s and 60s. And then it gave birth to another Rod Serling creation called The Night Gallery, which was also similarly spooky and terrifying and fascinating. Great work was
done. And
they're
all standalone episodes.
Standalone episodes. Yeah. No through line, just every week a brand new story, like a little mini movie each and every week. So Steven Spielberg was always a fan of this genre and those shows in particular, and in fact got his start directing an episode of The Night Gallery back in the day. So in the 80s, he came out with his own version of this called Amazing Stories, which was every week a brand new story with a brand new cast and writers. And I thought it was just great television. It was on NBC, and nobody really watched. Okay. It may have lasted just one season. But it won Emmys, and everything. It was great. Great. It featured the supernatural tales, and it was just fascinating and really good television. And I always thought it was a bummer that it didn't last longer. Well, NBC has announced they are working on rebooting Amazing Stories and bringing back anthology television. I think that's a great idea. Now, Spielberg, apparently, who will not be involved.
Maybe he was the issue, Ralph.
Yeah, he's a problem.
One of the greatest directors.
Talentless hack
in history.
He's a bad director. He won't be involved in this, but apparently has given its blessing. So it looks like we may get anthology television back again, which I think would be cool because there's always some great work being done on those types of shows. Plus, it's great news for actors and writers and directors and people who are looking for work. If there's a show that hires a brand new cast and crew each and every week, I think it's a great opportunity for people to get out there and get some work done. So there you go. Here's my take.
The closest we have is like Fargo, where they do it for a season, but not
one
episode.
Every episode would
every
be cool.
Single episode.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kelly Osbourne of the Osbourne family. 31 years old. That's pretty much all she's known for, right? Being an Osbourne? Has she ever done anything otherwise?
Fashion Police.
Yeah, okay. Right, yeah.
She also put out a couple of
look at that dress.
Couple of records.
Oh, huge hits. Right.
She has a fashion line.
Oh, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's unique. No one has a fashion line. What does she do, though, I'm asking?
I think she hosts things. She's part of the MTV crew for some of their shows as well. She does a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
A little of this, a little of that.
Mm. She's 31 years old today. Patrick Fugit. He's 33 years old.
You never got over her father threatening to kill you, right?
Right. I thought that was rude.
That's what this all boils down to.
I thought it was rude. I thought it was perhaps that stepped happen. Over the line.
That did happen.
I could outrun him, though.
Yeah.
I'm not really worried about him catching
me. All my money would be on you, Ralph, in that fight.
I could even taunt. I could run backwards and say, come on, Ozzy.
Because Ozzy said he was going to bring a bat, right?
A baseball bat, yeah. He was going to clean house with a baseball bat. What are you going to do? Sharon, I'm terrified of. But Ozzy, I think I can get away from.
Yeah.
Scott Weiland, he's 48 years old today. Simone Le Bon from Duran Duran is 57 years old today. And John Cleese, legendary member of Monty Python's Flying Circus and Fawlty Towers, 76 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know. Yes. I don't feel like we have time for this right now.
Halloween is
Halloween, Halloween, do Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Right?
Ooh ah, ooh ah. Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree.
Here's what I'm saying. We're gonna talk about Halloween costumes.
Why'd you cut that off? I was just getting into it.
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks
outside my window pane.
We're going to talk about sexy Halloween costumes here.
You can let the music keep going. Like, while we're talking
I was
about this.
Almost there.
We're going
to. I mean,
Allie needs to be for a second. Are you going to turn it down? No, down a little bit. We don't. It's annoying, right? It's
yeah,
annoying, right?
Down.
But it's annoying. It's humorous. Is it humorous now?
This is the least humorous part of it.
It's not the best part of the song.
How about now?
All right, turn it down a little bit. We're going to talk about Halloween costumes because one of the things...
I get in trouble for playing it, I get in trouble for not playing
true.
It.
One of the things that a lot of people complain about with Halloween, and they're wrong, is the... What is it? It is often complained. I can wait you out, man. Okay. So. How long is this song?
That's what I'm saying. That's a fine point.
Halloween spooks. Behind the tree.
All right, what are you saying? I'm sorry.
Okay, here's what I'm saying.
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window.
That's great. That's a good song right there.
Yeah. Some people complain that women are overdoing it with the sexy Halloween costumes. Like, why is everything the sexy version of people? There are people out there who complain. There are people out there who think that it's just an excuse. The whole holiday has turned into just an excuse for women to go out there and be the sexy firefighter, the sexy policeman, the sexy astronaut, the sexy nurse, and everything like that. And there are people who think that it's gone too far. It's not creative anymore. And now we're getting to the point where it seems like, and this is what we want to talk about with the Kevin and Bean listeners right now at 1-800-520-1067. It seems like some women are going so far as to make costumes that have no business being sexy and making them sexy, a la the sexy Donald Trump.
Who's doing
costume.
Sexy a la?
No, I'm not throwing that out there. So. As an example, the sexy Donald Trump costume. Look, be sexy if you want, but don't be a sexy Donald Trump.
Why?
There's no reason for that to exist.
Why are you Trump shaming?
Why do you... Allie, what's your take?
Why do you care?
You know women.
I do know women, and here's
what's
the
hive mind on Halloween and I'm going to dress up and be sexy? What's that all about?
If you want to be sexy on Halloween or on a random Tuesday, do it. And if it's bugging you, something's wrong.
Okay. Something wrong if I say to you that there is, in fact, a costume that is available and for sale right now on Amazon mm-hmm. to be the sexy pizza rat? That's wrong.
That is adorable?
No.
Because the pockets
stupid.
Are little slices of pizza?
It depends on who's wearing
darling.
It, I would like to say.
It's a sexy pizza rat.
Right.
It's topical,
that's not a costume.
It's timely.
You're missing the point, Bean.
It's not a costume. That is not a thing.
It is a thing.
First of all, it's a thing. And
why
you
does
can
the
buy
pizza,
the thing.
But why does the pizza rat have to be sexy?
So you're against things that aren't sexy being presented in
yes,
a sexy way on
that's
Halloween?
That's what I am against. I am offended by the fact that it does exist a sexy Cecil the Lion costume. Now, that's hurtful.
Okay.
This is a lion
how does
who
that
got
hurt you?
Killed by a dentist.
Right.
He doesn't need to be turned into – there's no tribute being paid to Cecil the Lion there by turning him into a sexy Halloween costume.
Well, that's not about a tribute. It's about being sexy.
But there's nothing sexy about a slaughtered lion.
There's two parts. There's sexy and there's offensive. Let's mm-hmm. be honest. A lot of times offensive wins in Halloween costumes, specifically mm-hmm. Halloween costumes. A lot of times people go for the most offensive thing that they can think of.
Right. Then why does it have to be sexy too, though?
Because all should be sexy.
We're going to take calls at 1-800-520-1067, by the way. If you have thoughts on the sexification of Halloween costumes, in particular, if there's a costume you know of or are thinking of turning into a sexy costume this year. For instance, you've heard about the people who are going as the Burger King Black Burger, right? You've heard about that.
I have not heard about that.
These are people who are going to dress up like the Whopper that has the black bun, the one that Dave was eating. And then the companion costume of that is the green poop. Okay? There is a sexy green poop costume.
That's fantastic.
It's not fantastic.
That's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
You shouldn't be mixing sexiness and poop.
Sexy goes with anything, Bean.
No, it doesn't.
Who hurt you?
It's not a who
Someone's
hurt me
sexy,
thing.
Obviously.
So, Allie, you are fine with a sexy green poop costume.
Listen, sexy is a state of mind. If you feel empowered and sexy as a piece of poop, I say, ladies, be that poop.
Or instead of going to a Halloween party, get an appointment with a medical professional who can evaluate you.
Why do you care?
Right.
Why do you
That's
care?
That's what it boils down to. Why do you care?
Look,
why are you sexy shaming poop?
Why do people care about a lot of things? Because they see them and they go, that ain't right. And this is a that ain't right. A sexy Donald Trump is not right. A sexy Cecil the Lion is not right. A sexy green poop is not right. It's just not right.
Then don't be those things, Bean.
No one's asking you to go as that.
I don't like it, and I do not allow it.
All right.
No one's asking you again. Nobody's asking you.
Let's talk to Saudi, if that's a name, in Inglewood, line 2, please.
All right.
Saudi.
Hey, Saudi. Oh,
is it Saudi? Hey. Is your name really Saudi?
Yes, it is. It's Saudia, but everybody calls me Saudi.
Okay. Okay. All right. What's going on? You have a sexy millipede costume? What do you got for us?
No. It's a sexy, like an army, somebody who's in the army.
All right.
Yeah, but the thing is,
that's all good.
It's my niece's costume, and she's 13.
That's not as good. All right, Allie, what's your ruling on this? All women can be all things all the time. How about a 13-year-old who wants to be a sexy army person?
A 13-year-old is not a woman, first of all.
Correct.
It's a girl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Yeah, the problem with that, with the army costume, is not the army costume or the sexy. It's the 13-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
If she was 18... All good.
So, Saudi, what are you doing about it? I mean, are you stepping in here? Or is it not your choice, right? It's not your kid.
No, I'm just yelling every time I go over there. I'm like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you people? First, she wanted to be a sexy Assassin's Creed character, like the main character.
Sure.
But he's a guy. He's a dude.
Right.
Okay.
Like, no. She's not wearing high boots and short red skirt.
But let me ask you this question, Saudi, because you probably have more familiarity with 13-year-old girls than I do.
Probably not.
Are they raised now, and that's the aspiration for Halloween from an early age is to have a super sexy costume because that's what they see all the adult women in their lives going for?
And I don't think it's that. I really do think it's the industry. When you have a 5-year-old walking around in a sexy policeman's or policewoman's costume, it's got a little skirt, it's got a little hat, a little gloves with it,
okay,
and some cute little boots. Come on now, she's
right.
5.
How about those
parents are responsible for
even running that?
All right, listen. Saudi, thank you for calling. We totally appreciate it. And that brings us to the rule. The rule is we're talking about 18 and above. 18
right.
and above.
So we're talking about grown-ups.
Right.
All right. What's your contribution to the list that involves sexy Cecil the Lion, sexy Donald Trump, and sexy poop? What are your take? What is your costume? Talk to us about it. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. We're going to talk to the executive producer of, among other things, the Paranormal Activity movies. Jason Blum will join us in about 10 minutes or so. He is behind the new series on the Game Show Network called Elevator. It's like a elevator, but hell, Kevin. It's a hellevator.
Right.
All right, we're going to talk about that. First, though, sexy Halloween costumes is the topic at 1-800-520-1067. What non-sexy things are you turning into sexy costumes? I heard from Michelle. Here's a photo of last year. I went as a sexy sriracha bottle. It's my favorite food, so why not sex it up? Love you guys. She looks very enticing in this costume.
Right?
I got to be honest. All right.
Well, sounds sexy.
Let's take some calls here. Wow, we got some good ones. Let's start with Zeke on line 3, please, Monterey Park, to get us going.
Zeke, you're a genius.
Yeah, I wonder if you heard. Did you hear about the infamous Al Chapo sexy costume for a female? I don't know if I'd be able to, check out my girl in some Al Chapo costume with a face mask like that.
Depends on what she looks like, man.
Look, be El Chapo if you want to be El Chapo. That's a completely legitimate, timely, topical costume for 2015. It doesn't have to be a sexy El Chapo, though. That's my point.
Why do you hate sexy? Yeah.
There's plenty of things that can be sexy. You don't need a sexy El Chapo. You don't need a sexy George W. Bush. You don't need a sexy polar bear. You don't need any of those things.
Every one of those costumes is better sexy.
Thank you for the call, Steve. We appreciate that. Let's go to Julia in Sherman Oaks. Now, she may be our target audience because she's a young woman who sees Halloween coming up, and she's got to come up with a costume. Let's see where her head's at.
Hey, Julia.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
I spent way too much time at work browsing costumes, and I came across a sexy red lobster.
Sexy lobster?
Red lobster. And ultimately, I decided not to get it because the claws were gloves, and I would not be able to hold a drink in my hand.
No, it's all about drinks. You've got to be able to drink.
Now, when you start to think about a Halloween costume, is first and foremost in your mind, what can I make a sexy costume?
No, I try to pair up with somebody that I'm going to be hanging out that night, and I was looking for the red lobster. I actually searched for it because my boyfriend is from Maine.
I love Maine, Julia. Yeah. I don't know if you know.
That's a different topic.
Thank you, Julia. Happy Halloween. Let's go to Eric on Line 1, East L.A. Perfect example of a costume that never needs to be made sexy. Hey, Eric.
Hello. Well, they made a hazmat costume sexy.
Hazmat? Right. Now, how does that work? Because isn't the whole deal with a hazmat is you cover as much of your body as possible?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it is. And they find a way to make it sexy and not care about getting – they call it the Ebola costume.
Oh, the Ebola – sexy Ebola patient?
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
So they have a gas mask, leg warmers, and a little, yellow vest over it.
Yeah, giggity indeed. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Sarah now, line 8, Los Angeles calling.
All right. Hi. Sarah, hi.
Hey, guys. So I was on Facebook this morning, and I saw an anorexia costume. It was called Sexy Rexy.
No.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so it was just a skeleton, mini dress with a measuring tape, and it was Sexy Rexy.
I sort of have a boner.
Anorexia
costume. What about women who are empowered and want to feel sexy? If they want to be green poop, they can be green poop. Why can't they be anorexia, Allie?
Well, I think eating disorders in general are not fair game for sexy.
I was so offended, guys. Oh,
but Sarah, I mean, honestly, half of Halloween is about being offensive.
Right.
And the other half is sexy.
Coming from that industry, I was very offended. And whoa.
Yeah, I could see that. All right.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Dear Kevin Amin, this one comes in via text. By the way, you can always text us at the number 2KROQ. It's 25767. I heard about a sexy corn costume. How the hell is corn sexy?
I feel like if there's not a picture, we can't judge it properly.
All right.
Sexy corn.
Send your sexy corn pictures to Kevin at KROQ.com. Thanks for calling.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:36.
Got tickets for you to see the Los Angeles Clippers versus the Dallas Mavericks at Staples Center Thursday night for the home opener. And we'll talk to DeAndre Jordan, center for the Clippers, coming up next half hour here on KROQ. First, though, Kevin, it's been 2 or 3 years since we had Jason Blum on the show. He is the king of horror, man. He does the Paranormal Activity movies. He's a producer for the Ouija movies and the Purge movies and the Amityville movies. I mean, it's crazy how much stuff he's behind. And the new series that we are fascinated with called Hellevator, Wednesday nights at 8 on the Game Show Network. Jason, welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
Very, very well. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Refresh my memory, and I apologize if I asked you this last time we had you on, but at what age did you realize you were going to dedicate the rest of your life to scaring the crap out of people?
What age did I realize I was a disturbed human being?
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, either one.
At a very young age, my mother, I was always fascinated with very, very gross things. For instance, one of the, other kids, this is true, while other kids collected stamps and coins, I collected my own fingernails. I actually still have them in a little plastic box. And my wife, in the last about 2 years, she found my secrets. I don't do it anymore, But she found my stash of fingernails. It was quite embarrassing.
So you used to be one of those people who used to, when he cut his fingernails, you would save them. You would put them in a box and not throw them away.
I put them in a box. Now, there's a box. Yes, and there's a box. It's still in my apartment. My wife doesn't know. It's still in our apartment. I have my fingernails, my baby teeth, and there are a couple of colored nails because apparently every so often I would save a nail or two from my mother.
All right. You're a freak. I'll come right out and say it.
Now,
Jason.
When your wife found the fingernail clippings, did you throw them out and did you get in an argument?
No, that's what I'm saying. No. I admitted. I told her the story, which I hadn't, and I don't know if she currently is aware that they're actually still. I think she thinks that they're gone, but I couldn't let them go. I mean, I've had them for 40 years. Like, how could I let them go?
Well, easy. You let them go because they're fingernails, Jason.
I figure you just put them in the trash.
This is what he's willing to admit to his wife, by the way. When she finds out about his poop collection, look out.
He's got a finger collection from the kids in the neighborhood, too.
Jason.
The poop is in mini storage. She'll never find that. It's in a secret cabinet.
Well, I mentioned a bunch of the horror franchises that you were involved in. So you really do spend a lot of time trying to scare people. And I was curious how you make that transition to a show like Hellevator where... Look, when you're doing it in a movie, these are characters that we can believe they're really in the peril where they might die. But if somebody's a contestant on a game show, no matter how much you scare them, isn't there part of them that goes, hey, it's only a game show, it's real life, and I can't possibly really get hurt?
Well, there is. But I think part of my obsession, love, fascination with things scary and horror movies in particular is that us fans really have a sense of humor about it. There's actually... This would be might be surprising, but the horror movie sets are actually really fun, and I, I'm interested in making our company bigger, and I don't want to do that by just making more expensive movies. I tend to shy away from that. And when I was collecting my fingernails, I always loved game shows. I was a huge game show nut when I was a kid. I can't explain that one.
I just want to clarify. But, you still have a collection of your fingernails?
Yeah, I think he covered that, Kevin.
No. I don't do it anymore. But I have the old fingernails from when I was a kid. Just to set the record straight.
All right.
Anyway, I loved game shows, and we started a television division 3 or 4 years ago now. And it's run by a terrific executive named Jessica Rhodes. And she kind of said, what are your hopes and dreams a couple of years ago? And I said, I'd really love to figure out a scary game show. We do live events. We do haunted houses. We're doing a haunted house right now in Buenos Aires. And we have an online Blumhouse.com and Crypt TV online scary stuff. So game shows are one thing that we haven't covered. And we worked for a long time trying to figure out what the right fit would be. And when I even heard the title Hellevator, which I wish I could say we came up with, but we did not. But it was pitched to us. I loved it. And that's how it all started.
Jason, it's the best title of any television show ever. That's what you don't understand. Hellevator is everything.
We do a lot of
games for giveaways and stuff on this program for like different bands, different concerts, and we come up with a name like Hellevator. We go, all right, now we need to build a game around that because it's so great.
Yeah.
Well, we agreed.
100%. She said Hellevator. I said stop. We're doing it.
Right.
Sold. Exactly. So we used a lot of our. It's three contestants, and they go through a series of floors where there are scary challenges on every floor. Needless to say, they take an elevator to each one of these floors. They're taking a hellevator.
Thank you. Well, much done. Better.
My bad.
Come on, it's your show, for God's sakes.
Jesus Christ. No, it's sad. Sad. A lot of the guys who did our special effects and scary stuff, we shot the show in Los Angeles in a warehouse, right by downtown LA, and a lot of the people who worked on the scary stuff in our movies have worked on the show, and we worked very hard on scaring our contestants to death. One of my favorite things about the show is that almost across the board, the men are more scared than the women. Women are braver than men. That's all I have to say. That's what I've learned definitively from doing this.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
This first episode, that guy was killing me the whole time. Sorry for hiding behind you, you guys. Come on, sack up.
Be a man.
Seriously.
We're talking to Jason Blum here on the Kevin and Bean Show about the show Hellevator, which again airs Wednesday nights at 8 on the Game Show Network. I just want to play, I know we're almost out of time here, Jason. I just want to play a tiny clip from the show. Here it is.
Oh, God. Good.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Hellevator. Tonight, the three of you will compete in horrifying challenges. You'll be facing these challenges one by one. Be successful, and you'll earn cash for your team. But if you fail, you'll be left behind in the slaughterhouse.
There have been a lot of game shows over the years. Very few of them do contestants get left in the slaughterhouse. That sounds terrifying.
That's rough. It does sound rough.
You can't just kill someone because they can't get through the maze.
That was a great clip.
Do you keep toenails as well?
No, there were no toenails. This is bad now.
Yeah,
now
he drives really
he's
blind.
Not an like, animal,
no,
Kevin.
Please, toenails. How dare you?
All right, Jason. Hellevator, Wednesday night at 8 on the Game Show Network. How much can somebody win if they survive the terrors that are thrown at them on the Hellevator?
They can win many tens of thousands of dollars. Not hundreds, but tens. If we're on next year, we might move to hundreds.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Always fun to catch up with you. Go see the Paranormal Activity Ghost Dimension in theaters now. And again, Hellevator Wednesdays at 8 on the Game Show Network. Good to talk to you, Jason.
Thanks for having me on. Talk to you guys soon.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Hey, keep on listening for your chance to win your way into the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball. We've got more tickets that you can win coming up here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's Tuesday. Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, man?
Hello.
Uh-oh.
Was it a surprise?
Kevin?
The guy in the black leather jacket sitting in front of the mic. Was that a surprise to you?
I don't know what's going on, man.
Yeah, I do. I know exactly what's going on, sadly.
It was fine before you got in the Hellevator, man. Now everything's all
fine. See? Guy kept his fingernail clippings. Come on.
So that rattled you all the way through the next segment?
Apparently.
To your core. Speaking of tickets and costumes and things that are wonderful, Kamikaze!
Yay!
Stan Lee's Kamikaze Expo coming up this weekend, October 30th through November the 1st. One of the truly great Comic-Con / pop culture expos these days, and it's happening at the LA Convention Center this weekend. The reason I bring up costumes, because it's one of the great cosplay conventions. Cosplay, Kevin, of course, you know, is.
Costume play.
There we go. Look at Chip. Just raised her hands to the heavens as if she was given a miracle. They're having the Cosplay National Championship at Kamikaze this weekend. And there's a lot of celebrity guests as well. Carrie Fisher, a little lady named Carrie Fisher will be there. She's in a new independent film coming out this Christmas called The Force Awakens.
Haven't heard of it.
Stan Lee himself will be there. Michelle Nichols, Lieutenant Uhura from Star Trek. Great celebrity guests, great costume contest, great con if you'd like to go. I've got a pair of 3-day passes. You can go all weekend long if you're one of the lucky winners right now. 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers through at that phone number. We'll get a pair of 3-day passes to Stan Lee's Kamikaze.
What a nerd alert!
If you don't win, you can go to kamikazeexpo.com and get your info and tickets
nerd
there.
Nerd alert!
Speaking of nerds and things comic booky, Supergirl took flight last night for CBS and kicked some major booty in the ratings.
Did it awesome.
Numbers are in. Now, keep in mind, it had a very strong lead in. It was following Big Bang Theory, which is a enviable place to debut a TV show, but positive reviews and lots of hype made it the fall's top premiere for a TV show in important demographics, including the 18 to 49 audience. 12.9 million viewers tuned in to watch this show. It was the biggest TV show of the night, ranking only behind Big Bang Theory. So congratulations, ranking number one in adults 18 to 49 for premieres this fall. You know what the second biggest TV show for that age group was? The new fall shows, 18 to 49?
Hellevator?
Not Hellevator. No, that hasn't been on yet, has it?
Knock Knock Live?
Knock Knock Live did not crack the top two in adults 18 to 49.
My only guesses.
What's the question? New shows?
Brand new shows premiering this fall.
Dr. Ken.
No.
The Grinder.
No.
Huh. I'm out.
Blind Spot. NBC's Blind Spot was the previous number one before Supergirl came along, and then she just crushed it. Interestingly enough, too, half of that audience for the 1849 demo, women. So, as expected, Supergirl getting a lot of attention from the ladies out there who are holding out for a hero.
Oh, wow.
And they got it. It's good to have a female lead in a superhero show. I think it's healthy.
I agree.
Forever.
Has there really not been one since Wonder Woman?
Not in a lead. Not in a lead capacity, no.
That's shocking, isn't it? That it's been 40 years since there's been a female superhero on television?
Well, there have been some failed attempts. There was Black Scorpion, famously, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There was Birds of Prey. Made a shot at it.
Oh, well, you're naming all the big ones.
But not much success. Right.
What's happening?
I don't know. They're writing each other love notes over there on the other side of the room.
You pay attention to what you're doing.
It's distracting is all I'm saying. While we're talking about nerd things, feel bad for Chewbacca and Darth Vader. They were arrested by Ukrainian police this week. You know, you shouldn't visit the Ukraine if you're from outer space.
That's true.
From a galaxy far, far away.
They're not big fans.
Chewbacca and Darth Vader are just trying to vote, that's all. But the Ukrainian police would have none of it.
Trying to vote.
Yeah. Gentlemen dressed up as Chewbacca and Darth Vader were trying to vote in a hotly contested election there in the Ukraine. And the police didn't think it was funny. Chewbacca was detained for being without documents while driving Darth Vader to the voting booth. Vader said this was illegal because Chewbacca is his pet and servant and does not require documents. What the hell's going on in Ukraine? What's going on over there?
All kinds of nonsense.
And while we're talking about spooky things, Halloween, there are real vampires. Hello.
Go on.
Yes. Is this thing on?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
A researcher for Louisiana State University has documented his encounters with the real vampires of the French Quarter.
Vampires come out at night.
Yes, they do.
Good point, Rodney. Indeed. Thank you.
These particular vampires don't possess any supernatural powers, at least that he knows of, but they do consume real human blood.
Hear them scream.
After a short period of time, I realized that they weren't crazy, said John Edgar Browning, the researcher. At least weren't any crazier than your average Joe. Oh, I would think they're considerably crazier than your average Joe.
Maybe a bit.
The so-called vampires claim to drink the blood because of a condition that prevents them from absorbing nutrients by food alone. They said they need the blood as sustenance.
Mm.
Browning estimates there are 50 vampires currently living in New Orleans. And by the way, the Atlanta Vampire Alliance, you know, that organization, the AVA.
Probably the most well-known.
They have found that at least 5,000 people in the United States identify as vampires when asked via survey.
I was a teenage werewolf.
Okay. See, that gentleman thinks he's a teenage werewolf.
Yeah.
Which is different from a vampire, but still. Right?
Right. Is there a question?
Creature with the atom brain.
That's not even close to what we're talking about.
Skeleton.
I would like to hear the survey, the phone survey. Would you identify yourself as Republican, Democrat, Independent, or Vampire? I'd have to go with Vampire. All right. Thanks for your time.
Safe and sane Halloween.
Right. Safe
don't
and sane
eat any
Halloween.
Razor blades.
Don't eat any razor blades. You know what? I think that's a good rule of thumb all year round, not just at Halloween time.
It's true. It's a good tip.
Halloween.
Yes, Halloween. That's what we're talking about. Because they put the razor blades in the apples, you know.
They did 30 years ago? Or
I don't know if they ever did, by the way. That may have
the
been
whole thing's an urban legend.
Was it an urban legend?
A urban myth, because I don't remember anyone ever actually finding a razor blade in their apple.
But if you do, don't eat it.
First of all, if you're giving out apples at Halloween.
Yeah. F you.
Yeah, exactly.
To begin with.
You go straight to hell. You got to be suspect if anybody would give out an apple in the first place. Even if it's a perfectly fine, red delicious, that person has some damage.
If they give you an apple, you throw it right back in their house, right?
In their face, the house. They're waiting for the door to close. They say, here you go. Oh, hi. Are you a pirate? Oh, here's your apple. Say, F you, lady. And just wing it right at her skull. That's a little something for the kids. A little tip the kids can take with them. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kelly Osbourne's 31 years old today. I've been told that she's wonderful, and I enjoy her work.
Oh, you have? Mm-hmm. Okay. All
right. Patrick Fugit's 33 years old today. Scott Weiland turns 48. Simone Le Bon. Duran Duran lead singer Simon Le Bon is 57 years old today. And all morning long, we've been celebrating the genius that is John Cleese. He is 76 years old today. You know, Edwin, one of our listeners who contributes very funny things to the show all the time.
Yep.
Writes in all the time. He's asking for a little John Cleese, so I asked Omar for a two different clips I could choose from for of John's work, and we have one of them.
We have both. We now have both.
We do. Are they identified? Or could I ask for
you
one?
You can pick whichever one
oh,
you want.
Oh, this is very exciting.
And I'll play the other one.
Early on in the Showbiz Beat, it was a Russian roulette. You just spin the put the gun to your head and just see what comes out.
No, we have one. We have both. I mean,
this is one of my favorite
one. You pick
from for Edwin's request from Monty Python and the Holy Grail when King Arthur and his men who were looking for the Holy Grail. Stumble upon a forest castle. And inside the castle, inexplicably there, in countryside of England, are Frenchmen. And John Cleese plays the guard at the French castle who is viciously taunting King Arthur and his men.
Now look here, my good man. I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal food trough whopper. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Is there someone else up there we can talk to?
No. Now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
Yeah, I shall taunt you a second time.
Oh, the best.
I'm Ralph Garman to walk the show his beat.
Hey, producer Dave, the King of Mexico. What's the word on Mr. Jordan?
He should be calling in any moment.
Okay. Let me tell you what this deal is that we're going to do. So we're going to talk to DeAndre Jordan, talk about the Clippers season. NBA starts today, by the way. Clippers open tomorrow, and then we're giving away tickets for the home opener. This is a pretty awesome deal. You are also, in addition to winning the tickets for Thursday night at Staples Center, you're going to be qualified for the grand prize drawing that we're going to do on Thursday morning for upgraded seats, VIP valet parking, Lexus Courtside Club, Hyde Lounge, participate in the halftime fan tunnel. It is going to be an unbelievable experience, a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the LA Clippers home opener, and that is going to be Thursday morning. We'll do the grand prize drawing. So somebody is going to get a chance to be in that drawing and win tickets to the game on Thursday night. We're going to go to one of our callers at the end of the interview with DeAndre and give you the chance to ask him a question and win tickets to the game. All right, it's time for Clipper basketball. DeAndre Jordan, number 6, on the phone with us right now. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show, sir. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm great. I'm great. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, and there certainly was a time this summer where we didn't think we would be able to talk to you as a Los Angeles Clipper. Thanks for giving us a collective heart attack.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to stay in Houston for a little bit longer and enjoy my family. So I'm sorry for the scare. I'm here now, so I'm here for the long haul, so it's good.
It really was one of the craziest things that we've ever had in sports, seeing that caravan of your players and your coach and everything just come into your house and practically holding you hostage to get you to stay. I mean, it must have felt like a surreal moment in your life.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was not the kind of attention that I wanted. And I don't think that, you know, Chris being 6 feet, probably 170 pounds could hold me hostage.
Right.
6'11", 270. But it was a really, you know, stressful time. But when I look back at it, it's something that I'm glad I went through, and it prepared me for this season. So I'm excited about it.
Would you have made the same choice had they not come to your house?
I think so, man. I just think that when you know, things are you aren't sure about, then they find some way of them of getting back to the way that they're supposed to be. And I'm really glad that it happened that way. I think regardless, I would have found peace and happiness here, though.
Well, I mean, it's good to feel loved, and it's good to feel part of something special with people that really care about you. And although you knew that at the end of last season, it was kind of nice to get that reminder when you were in that delicate place, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, I know how much my teammates and our staff and organization feels and care about me. And, you know, like I said, I had been here for 7 years prior to this year, and it felt like home, and I fought so many battles with these guys, and I definitely feel like we have a lot of unfinished business, and I want to whenever I do have an opportunity to contend for a championship and win one, I would love it to be here with these guys and with this organization.
What's the mindset at the beginning of the season? Because it's a long season. Everybody's trying to stay healthy. Is that the most important thing, is staying healthy?
Yeah, I think it's definitely staying healthy, but I also think that you have to get all 15 players to buy into one system, which I think we have done. Then, you know, we just have to be able to gel with each other because, you know, the season, it's ups and downs. It's a roller coaster with injuries and things like that, knock on wood. But I definitely think that, you know, we all have to be able to gel and play with different units and be able to all be on the same sync and on the same string. So when the playoffs hit, we'll be rolling.
DeAndre Jordan on the line from the Los Angeles Clippers here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You guys got so close getting into the playoffs and being sometimes within a couple of plays of advancing even on to the next round. It must be the hardest thing in an athlete's life is to get that close and not win. How do you put it out of your mind and be open to the possibility of, hey, this year's going to be different?
I just think that we've added so many pieces, so many veteran guys who all they want to do is win. You don't see a lot of guys who want to get numbers and things like that. But we have so many guys who are willing to sacrifice, and that's the reason that they came here, is to have the opportunity to contend for a championship. And once you have that and everybody buys in, then, you know, the only person that could beat you is yourself.
A lot of Clipper fans were frustrated by the play off the bench last year. Is that something else that you guys worked on this year? Are you happy with some of the players we're going to see coming from those positions?
Oh, I'm definitely excited about a lot of the guys that we've added this year. You know, sad to see some guys go, but I'm definitely excited and ready to play with a lot of the guys that we've added, a lot of the veteran guys, a lot of the young guys who can really go and play. And I just feel, like I said, if we can stay healthy, everybody can gel together, different units, first unit playing with the second unit and vice versa, then, you know, we'll be pretty tough.
How long does it take early in the season to get that chemistry working with sort of everybody?
It takes a while, but like I said, there are ups and downs, and everybody goes through them. Everybody, you know, has those walls during the season that they have to kind of break through. But like I said, we have a lot of guys who know how to play the game of basketball, and they're here for one reason. And we all know what that is, and I'm really excited to get started with these guys, and but that's what training camp's for us to get that kickstart going of gelling with each other.
DeAndre, what was the most fun thing you did in your summer?
Ooh, most fun. Probably have to say going to Jamaica with my family after all the chaos. it was good to just get away, and I usually take my family somewhere every summer, and it was fun to just get away with them and just have that peace and happiness knowing whenever I get off from vacation, I'm going to go back to L.A., my second home, and get started for the next season.
I noticed you tweeting a lot about Halloween-themed stuff, from American Horror Story to just going to Halloween Horror Nights. What's your Halloween plan?
Oh, we have a game on Halloween.
But you're still going to dress up.
Oh, I'm definitely dressing up. Hopefully Doc doesn't get too upset about that, but I'm definitely coming.
What are you going to be?
I can't tell you guys. You have to look at my social media because I don't. You know, I'm going old school, so I definitely take this Halloween thing seriously, and it's fun for me to be able to dress up as a 7-foot guy and roam the streets.
I think I know what you're going to be.
No, don't say it.
I think I know.
Don't spoil it for the man. Come on, Allie.
Don't spoil
it for the man.
If you do, I'm going to hang up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Never mind.
All right. DeAndre, before you hang up, we invited our listeners to call in who might have a question. We're picking one listener of everybody who's on hold, and they're going to win tickets to see you in person at the home opener at Staples Center on Thursday night. And I think the one that we're going with is Stephanie, who is on the line from North Hollywood. Stephanie is a huge Clippers fan. And Stephanie, when you woke up this morning, you probably didn't think you were going to be on the phone with DeAndre Jordan at any point, did you?
I sure didn't, no.
All right. Well, say hi and ask your question.
Hey, DeAndre, I was actually wondering what you think Charles Barkley might say to Austin Rivers.
Well, let me tell you something, Stephanie. I think that Austin Rivers, I think that he had the skill level of his daddy, and I think he's going to be good for the Clippers this year.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
He nailed it.
Well
he
done.
Nailed it.
Wow.
All right, Stephanie, you have a great time at the game on Thursday night. This was super fun. We're so happy that it worked out the way it did. And, God, we love Doc Rivers so much, and we're so happy for you guys. And we just got our fingers crossed it's a great season for reals.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, guys.
You bet. Talk to you again.
All right, thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
Hey, Ralph's on his way in, but real quick, let's give away the thing.
The tickets for the thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pair of tickets and VIP lounge passes to the first annual Cali Uncorked Festival, which is November 14th at the Oak Canyon Park. Woo! We will take caller 20 right now, 1-800-520-1067. You win the tickets from K-Rock.
Uncorked? Is that a wine festival thing?
It involves wine. It involves
wine, beer, food. Beer. The Keck is going to be there, Ralph. You'll be happy to know. David Koechner is going to be there.
My buddy Dave. I love everything about that. I love wine. I love Koechner. I love food.
But you don't get these tickets, though. They're for listeners.
Well, that seems unfair.
I'm saying you can't win.
We still live in America, don't we?
Yeah, but you're part of this group, which means we can't give them to you.
So I'm part of a minority that's allowed to be discriminated against according to what you're doing.
I believe so.
Well, isn't that a fine how do you do?
So 1-800-520-1067, if you want to go to that, it's down in Irvine? Irvine, yeah. Rob is here. Time for our final look at the show. It's been on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Irvine? Don't they have an improv down there in Irvine?
Not that I'm aware of.
I believe they do.
No.
Andy?
No.
The Irvine Improv, in fact, will be the home for Hollywood Babylon this Friday night. The Late Show, we are doing a very special Halloween-themed Hollywood Babylon show at the Irvine Improv. Kevin Smith and I bring in Hollywood Babylon back to Orange County because, of course, it is Halloween Eve. We will be referring to this as Hollywood Boobalon.
God damn it, no! No! No!
That's our marketing guy.
He's no way. Not ever.
It's 18 years and older. So come on out and bring the kids. It's a good time.
As long as they're 18 years and older.
Bring the kids, you're saying.
18-year-olds.
Okay.
Kids.
Nope.
Guy, no way. No way. Get real.
Guy sent me an email, said he's coming to the show on Friday night. He's just turned 18. He's very happy that it's an 18-plus show. And he's bringing his mom, who introduced him to our podcast. And I thought, what is going on with that family? How is that? How is she allowed to parent?
Look, we're fortunate for bad decisions like that.
I guess so.
That's not what you want.
It is not.
It is not.
No. Go to improv.com for more details and tickets. Ricky Gervais, one of my favorites, will be officially returning to host the Golden Globe Awards. This will be his fourth time in 6 years. Did you know that?
I didn't.
He's taken over for, of course, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, who did the job for the past couple of years. And Ricky did it the 3 years before they did. So, in the words of NBC chairman, NBC will be airing the Golden Globe Awards. Fasten your seatbelts. That's simply all he said in the press release.
All right.
He is a wild card.
He's great. And let me tell you what I love about Ricky Gervais. And he said something so smart that I think should be the motto of this country, which is nobody has a right to not be offended.
Nobody has a right to not
be offended. Yeah. That's his answer to all the people who get offended about everything all the time always, is you're not guaranteed a right to not be offended. It's part of life.
You're going to be offended, deal with it.
Yeah, basically.
Nobody's saying you'll never be offended. That's what you're saying he's saying.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Nobody's saying that you won't.
Oh, wow.
So you're protected. You're not protected.
But what?
To not be offended.
Exactly. Yes.
By a right. Therefore,
that's right.
Therein.
Because people behave as if their rights have been violated if they are offended by something that they see. And his point is you don't have a right to not be offended.
Right.
So toughen up.
And just being able to be offended, what a great right that is.
Right. By definition, though, your offense is not necessarily offending someone else and therefore violating the non-existent right that they have.
Exactly, Ralph.
I think it's pretty clear now.
You sure?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or as a comedian, raconteur, British genius Stephen Fry once famously wrote, "You're offended? So effing what?" Which is another way of putting that, I think.
Yeah.
God bless. Hey, listen. This is a movie that isn't going to be good. They just announced a new film called Bad Moms. About a trio of everyday moms
who introduce their kids to Hollywood Babylon?
No. Who get fed up with their kids' school's PTA Queen Bee and her clique of perfect moms. So they rise up and start screwing with them.
Did you say this is a movie?
Yeah, it's a feature film. Mila Kunis, Christina Applegate, and Kristen Bell all star as the Bad Moms.
Wow. Well,
and because it's Hollywood, of course, the Bad Moms are all smoking hot.
Yes, sure. They are.
Yeah.
They happen to be hot as
well. But they're on the outside. They're the outsider moms, and they're going to show you perfect Queen Bee mom. It's like Mean Girls, only with moms.
I know your initial reaction was this isn't going to be good, but those actresses have pretty good track records, don't they? Kristen Bell's not in a lot of crappy stuff, for instance.
That's true. I'm a fan of all three of these ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the premise sounds...
smells like donkey ass.
I think the premise smells like donkey ass, frankly. No, it just sounds so cliche and just so cookie-cutter Hollywood comedy, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Anybody with me?
Yep.
I hope they rise above it.
Yeah,
I hope
not to say they can't make a good movie with it.
Say that, but I'm just saying.
You're voting no. That's You're all. Saying they won't.
I'm just
That's
saying.
Your point.
I'm saying hope's at an all-time low. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
But other than that, I think they got a shot.
All good.
Donald Trump has a celebrity endorsement worth talking about. Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson has come forward and is asking America to give Trump a shot in the White House. Just take a chance for 4 years as he fleshes the country. Why not? What do we got to lose besides everything?
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
Okay, that's true. Iron Mike said,
he should be the president of the United States. Let's run America like a business where no colors matter. Whoever can do the job gets the job.
See, Mike's all about fairness.
Right? Ralph, isn't the U.S. economy humming at its maximum when we're at war?
That used to be the case.
Not anymore?
Not anymore. This most recent war, the 10-year war, that no one really acts like mattered very much. Almost drove the country down.
Well,
the
that's too bad. Because that was what I was counting on with Trump. Is that at least we'll be at war all the time with lots of countries?
Oh, sure.
So we'll probably make a lot of a lot of good for the economy.
We will. We will. We'll be in wars, but it's not the economy booster it used to be. Like in the Second World War, that was one of the famous economic
because that puts everybody to work
for this country, right? Because the Second World War was demanding an enormous amount of manufacturing, which just meant everybody was working. But the economy is not a manufacturing-based economy anymore.
Right. So it puts China to work
to war. China and Japan, they do very well in wartime. Us, not so much.
But I'm going to wait to hear from Mike Tyson.
Me too. I'm gonna take him to the voting booth with me. Excuse me, you can't take a second person in the booth. Really? You tell him. You tell him he can't come with me in the voting booth.
Tell that guy with a tattoo on his face what he can and can't do.
I will
do.
Eat your children if you don't let me go in the booth.
That's what he'll say to someone.
You know,
one time I was in Vegas and Brad Williams, funny Brad,
shoved
me into my Tyson. Literally just pushed me into him full blast and I hit him full on. And for 1 second, I thought I was going to die.
Why'd he do that?
Because he's funny. It's in his name, Funny Brad.
It was pretty
funny. I
don't
think that's his name.
No,
it's his Twitter name.
His Twitter name.
It was pretty funny, though, and I got to admit, after I thought I was going to die, then afterwards, I was like, that was pretty funny.
I think the fact that you allowed a 4-foot-tall, 30-pound man to push you anywhere...
Well, I wasn't expecting
it. Volumes about you, sir.
I wasn't expecting it, and I maybe had had a drink.
You're weak, is what I'm saying.
Perhaps I had had one drink.
Were you awake? The chances
I was
are
awake.
You had
yeah.
had one drink at
yeah.
least.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, we're talking about Donald Trump. He will be the host of Saturday Night Live on November the 7th.
Nope.
Yes, he will. See ya.
Why is that a nope, Allie?
Why?
Why? It's because he's in the news.
Because he's popular.
They want ratings.
Ratings.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
You're fired, Allie. I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Sia will be the musical guest that night. And now SNL has announced the rest of their November lineup. Elizabeth Banks will be hosting on the 14th. Musical guests, Disclosure, Sam Smith, and Lorde.
Hmm.
All right.
That's star-studded.
They sing songs on the Disclosure album that I guess they'll be performing that night. So that's cool.
And Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right. We'll be hosting on the 21st, and Adele will be the musical guest.
Nice.
All right. So that's good stuff for everybody. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kelly Osbourne's 31 years old today. Actor Patrick Fugit is 33. What'd you say he was starring in, Bean? He's got a new role, right?
Outland, new Robert Kirkman series.
Right.
Outcast.
Hey now. You shake it like a Polaroid picture? Is that what he does in that show?
I'm not positive.
Scott Weiland's 48 years old today.
I'm happy that we have been quiet on Scott Weiland news in the last year.
He's been underground,
which has been good.
Yeah. I guess it depends on why he's been so quiet.
Well, I hope it means good things.
Yeah.
I hope he's quiet because he's, you know, healthy and working out. And
working out.
And not dying.
He's been quiet in the gym.
When we used to hear news about Scott Weiland, it was always he canceled a show or he got arrested or
right.
he drove, you know, yeah.
Right.
So
he handed out leaflets for his band at the, at his old band's concert.
Right. So this is better.
Yeah. Simone Le Bon. Duran Duran, lead singer, is 57 years old today. And all morning long, we have been celebrating the genius that is John Cleese. Of course, legendary member of Monty Python's Flying Circus, then went on to a wildly successful TV career with Fawlty Towers and Fish Called Wanda. Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
He's just been great in everything he's ever done. He is 76 years old today. We celebrate with maybe one of his most famous pieces of comedy, the legendary Dead Parrot sketch from Monty Python, about a man who returns to a pet store to return his parrot that he purchased there earlier, because it turns out the parrot was nailed to the perch inside the cage and was in fact dead. And the great Michael Palin is insisting that it's not dead. It's either napping or it's pining for the fjords where it originally comes from. And John Cleese has enough.
It's pining.
It's not pining. It's passed on. This parrot is no more. It has ceased to be. It's expired and gone to meet its maker. This is a late parrot. It's a stiff, bereft of life. It rests in peace. If you hadn't nailed it to the perch, it would be pushing out the daisies. It's run down the curtain and joined the choir invisible. This is an ex-parrot.
Well, I better replace it then.
If you want to get anything done in this country, you've got to complain to your blue in the mouth.
Indeed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we've got your tickets for Spectre and Danny Elfman at the Hollywood Bowl and the Clippers like we did today. And also, we're going to take calls from people who have unusual collections. We talked to Jason Blum today, who kept all of his fingernail clippings from when he was a kid.
Bean's got the hookers.
Right? Bean's got the
right,
hookers.
That's unusual.
So that is tomorrow. And we've also got Adam Carolla on the program, an in-studio visit from Bruce Campbell.
Groovy Bruce.
About Ash versus Evil Dead.
Oh, so good.
Which is so good. We'll see you tomorrow morning.